MAMC has given us two books. One is on research on emerging commons case studies on agri-business, and also the other book that they spoke about Cape to Cairo. The unfortunate part is that the only four, I'll just give them a quick one, that's wherein we have the one from COPE, there's one for TA, there's one for IMP, there's one for UDM. For now, and then we take it from there, trusting that we shall be receiving more of such copies. Mamam Simam. That's Kabanese. We hear Ms. Simam. PG, the floor is yours without waste of time. Thanks. What we'll do, members, we'll get the DG presenting, and then, of course, we still have other questions on other entities. We also have ARC here with us. I'm sure there was a question also on foot and mouth disease, that though ARC shall still, you know, come before us. But if we are able to get, you know, Dr. Mopuli responding quickly on things like, as I've just mentioned, I'm sure we shall be glad. We shall also have to come back to a whole range of other entities that we dealt with earlier when we conclude in our set of questions. Thanks, TJ.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon to honorable members and everyone here. The way I seek to proceed, Chair, I will not, because of the interest of time, look at the mandate, vision, and mission, nor even the overall economic overview. I won't touch all of those. I will go to the substance of the presentation, which is what has been done over this particular financial year. I will go through the presentation, and then when it comes to financial statements, I will not deal with them. I will conclude the presentation and then invite the CFO, with your permission, Chair, to take us to the financial statements. You had insisted earlier on, Chair, that people need to introduce the teams that they are with. But we've got about 20 people here with us, and I'm not so sure really that you want us to be that transparent. All I can say is that I have the senior leadership of the department here, all the divisions of the department are represented here, and yeah. There's a 20 team here. If you want them, Chair, I'll be guided by you. But I thought again, in the interest of time.
See them raising their hands.
Can the departmental members raise their hands?
There they are.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Chair. There was a question that was asked that we may want to respond to relating to the MassMart issue. What I want to say is that this issue, firstly, is presently before both the Competition Commission and the Competition Tribunal. The matters that are the first responded on this one, Department of Economic Development, they are the ones who've done more work on this, the more scientific work together with TTI. We are a third respondent to them. And as I said, you know, these matters are in front of the Commission and the Tribunal, and as it were, subject to say, I do not think, therefore, I would want to prejudge that. I feel to say that maybe at the right time, the first respondent, and maybe accompanied by us, can come and present once the matter has been concluded. Coming to the substance of the presentation, I would first say, by way of preface, that members would recall that since the appointment of the minister, since the start of this present administration, there were quite a number of colleagues that acted in the position of Director General. And therefore, the situation, as it were, was not optimal for people to perform to the best of their abilities. There was a little bit of challenges, stability, uncertainty. But I think that now, a year on the job, there is some stability in the organization. Also, I would like to say that the process of integrating the various components, fisheries, forestry, into with agriculture, has gone tremendously well, and I will talk to it in the presentation. All I can say right now is that we've moved away from a situation of low morale, there's generally high morale, and it was evident last week when we had 150 people from our attending our quota review meeting. The biggest challenge facing the department during the period under review was the finalization of the macro transition of the newly created department. This has now been completed. This process involves the matching and placement of members of the senior management service and the configuration of the microstructure and the concomitant alignment of the post-establishment and the incumbent. On 31st March 2011, the post-establishment of the department totaled 7,043 posts. The department has spent more than $1 billion on employee compensation. During the reporting period, the vacancy rate on the department's post-establishment decreased from 14.8% to 11.3%. The delays in the personal setup checks conducted by NIA, as well as the South African Qualifications Agency, however, posed a challenge in terms of the turnaround time to fill the vacant post. All SMS posts were subjected to job evaluation during the period under review. A total of 56 employees attended and completed the adult basic education and training program during the reporting period, whilst 1,155 employees attended credit-bearing skills programs and learnerships. A total of 280 employees were awarded bursaries, totaling 1.7 million. The departmental internship program affected 175 students. During the period of reporting, 17 SMS members were trained on disciplinary procedures in the public service. Coming to policy planning, monitoring and evaluation, program 2. The transfer of rights policy and the small-scale fisheries policies were gazetted. The policy on the transfer of commercial fishing rights was published and gazetted. The program continued with the granting of interim relief measures pertaining to exemption and permits. The list of protected trees under the National Forest Act was gazetted for public comment. The pesticide policy was approved by the minister and has been gazetted. A discussion document was finalized towards the provision of primary plant health and existing services in rural areas in partnership with the ARC and finished with the Departmental Extension Support Services. A draft policy on organic agriculture is at a stakeholder consultative stage. A draft food policy was widely consulted and is currently in the cluster and capital process before COVID. What I can say though is that for the present financial year, that we're implementing. We have introduced the Zero Hunger Program as an instrument to push or to implement the food safety policy. But it's not what we're discussing today, and I think at the right time we'll come into that one. The list of protected trees under the Natural Forest Act were gazetted for public comment. Framework for both planning, monitoring, and evaluation have been completed to ensure alignment and accurate reporting of performance information. The quantity structures of the Department of Agriculture have been standardized for cooperative planning and reporting on national targets. This was not always the case. The programs are not the same across the provinces. Now we've got a similar standardized framework so that we can be able to monitor how the provinces are performing. Coming to economic development, trade and marketing. The department continues to strengthen South Africa's relations with African countries through the Comprehensive African Agricultural Development Program, KADAP. There are some of the achievements within this reporting year. A memorandum of understanding and agreements with Zimbabwe, Swaziland, and Uganda were finalized. The program also participated in bilateral meetings with Namibia, Lesotho, Mozambique, the DRC, and Nigeria. We participated in the Southern African Development Community and African Union initiated multilateral meetings to enhance agriculture, forestry, and fisheries development and trade among African countries. The department also participated in South African Customs Union meetings to facilitate the adoption of standards to ensure proper movements of goods in the Customs Union and also the negotiation of the free trade with other regions. Still continuing on trade and marketing. We facilitated the export of 57% of products into the EU and the SADC, the two biggest destinations for South African exports, and the remaining 43% was exported to other countries. We participated vigorously in the WTO Doha Development Agenda negotiations regarding modalities for further reform of agriculture. Unfortunately, the other areas of negotiations have been halted. Since becoming a full member of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, that is the BRICS group, new markets and trade opportunities have been created, and work is continuing in building an IDRA, in building on IDRA to strengthen technical cooperation to maximize the trade and development opportunities offered by each member country. I would like to share with the portfolio committee that in the recent BRICS meeting that was held in China, we tabled in South Africa the issue of market access as one of the things that should be in the agenda. A nice part is going to be part and parcel of the agenda of BRICS going forward. Also important is that we are presently in the process together with the NAMC to establish the Center for Agricultural Development in the BRICS and Africa, so that we can, in an optimal way, be able to advise our own entrepreneurs what are the market opportunities in the BRICS countries and in the African continent. After more than 10 years of negotiation with Japan, market access was achieved for one variety of South African table grape, Barlinka. We have also participated in the Shanghai World Expo in 2010 for 6 months to promote our products to the new East Asian market. We continue to engage with developed countries under the G20 umbrella to allocate more funding to agriculture, forest, and fisheries development for the most food insecure countries in the world. Recently, we organized, as part of our global work, started in that financial year but implemented now, an African Ministerial Summit on Climate Smart Agriculture, which was held recently in September. And the outcome of that summit was a communique which was translated into these languages, French, Arabic, Portuguese, and was sent to the African Ministerial Conference on the Environment, which was in Mali at the time. Coming to food security and agrarian reform, the draft food security policy was developed and its initial implementation started with the Zero Hunger Program was initiated. As I said, I will come maybe later to give more details on this. I can say now is that the Zero Hunger Program was broadly endorsed by Cabinet in Tlukhutla in January, but we still have got to go through the exact Cabinet process so that the detail, the modalities can be looked at and can be endorsed by Cabinet. We are, of course, however, rolling out various elements of the Zero Hunger Program in such provinces as KZN, etc. The principal content of this program is to guarantee a market for smallholder farmers through state as a buyer of agricultural commodities. So when it comes to issues of school, nutrition programs, hospitals, etc., you are saying that such market must be made available or be secured for smallholder farmers. We think that such an initiative has the possibility to galvanize smallholder farmers and rural people to participate in agriculture and to see a future in agriculture. The National Delivery Forum for the Vulnerable Workers on Farms and Forests and Fisheries was established after the terms of reference for official management has been adopted. This is the instrument that we're using on an ongoing basis to implement the outcomes of the Vulnerable Workers Forum that we had last year. The plan to convert the 12 colleges of agriculture into national agricultural training institutes is at an advanced stage, and all details will be completed to ascertain the feasibility of the program. These centers of excellence will be developed in combined lines for the training and development of smallholder and producers. Off central in them will be the work that will be based on the agroecological conditions of the respective area, training people on the comparative advantage of their geographical area. So that work is unfolding. Capacity building workshops on the understanding of the National Forest Act and the National Shared and Forest Fires were conducted for various stakeholders, including communities in the Fire Protection Association. Weather and climate capacity building workshops were conducted for officials in the Northwest and Limpopo provinces, where 64 officials participated. A total of 670 extension officers were enrolled with various universities and University of Technology for qualifications, upgrading 1,947 were trained on different skills programs. Owing to effective coordination of training, a total of 31,474 members of committees, including 10,298 smallholder farmers, were trained through CAS, of which 3,929 were women, 6,369 were males, and 2,606 were young people. Still on food security and agrarian reform, in terms of the new growth path, agriculture has a significant potential to create jobs. About 9,361 jobs were created through CAS, 854 were permanent, and 8,507 were temporary. 2,581 jobs were created through Lima and Tsima, 505 of these were permanent, and about 2,000 of them were temporary. A total of 8,221 job opportunities have been created by Mafisa funded enterprises during the 2010-2011 financial year. Of this figure, 5,560 were casual opportunities, while 2,407 constituted permanent opportunities. These job opportunities include owner operators and workers employed by enterprises now. The number does not include workers employed by contractors contracted to provide services to the funded farmers. The micro agricultural financial institutions of South Africa, MAFISA, retailing institutions, disbursed loans to about 4,000 clients across the country for various agricultural related enterprises. A total of 27,000 of almost 8,000 targeted beneficiaries were supported through Ilima Letsima beneficiaries, and these were supported with inputs for the household and food gardens. More than 5,000 sustained farmers were supported with production inputs and mechanization through Ilima Letsima process, funding 127,000 hectares of land. The Mpumalanga province, through Masibuyele Masimin and use of mechanization promoted by CAF, planted more than 75,000 hectares of grain and sorghum for their subsistence farmers. Coming to agricultural production, health and safety. In spite of improved control measures, there was an outbreak of Rift Valley fever in the Western Cape in January 2011. There was foot and mouth disease in KZN, the African horse sickness and avian influenza in the Western Cape in February 2011. Avian influenza has impacted on the export of poultry meat, including ostrich meat. The foot and mouth disease is currently well under control. Over 120,000 animals have vaccinated, and thus far no cases have been reported since April 2011. the African horse sickness has been found in the Western Cape area, and there have been no exports of horses to EU since March 2011. Large influenza infected ostriches in the Western Cape, infected the area described as 10 Karoo Valley, and 35,000 pairs were culled, and 33 million compensation was paid by the end of August 2011. Much as we made this intervention of compensation, we think shelters, and it is important that we engage with industry as a whole, that the future rate is not on this compensation, that we should have properly designed insurance system that will ensure that a farmer can find other means to protect themselves from the vagaries of disease and nature. Detection of African invader fruit fly in the Limpopo province was successfully eradicated and trade partners accordingly formed. When coming to the Rift Valley, we can say that the successful vaccination has taken place and the exports have also been reopened. The research and technology development is looking at new approaches which could optimize the existing capacity to achieve increased food production. We've undertaken collaboration work with the ARC to enhance livestock production for smallholder farmers through various schemes. A total of 1,415 beef farmers with a head size of more than 15,000 animals were assisted in the beef improvement scheme. A total of 2,729 heads in dairy production and 17 goats, head of 17 goats, participated in the milk recording scheme to increase milk production and increase production. Due to increased numbers of tourists for 2010 FIFA World Cup, DAF has strengthened disease surveillance system and improved control measures at all ports of entry. This initiative has proven to be a success. Thanks to the Commercial Farming Committee who works with the department, we have been able to speedily act against pests for effective management. Forest development focused on the youth growth as well as on transformation and sustainability of the sector and the value chain. A total of 1,000 hectares were afforded in the Eastern Cape and 1,962 hectares in KwaZulu-Natal. The afforestation licensing process still presents a major concern in the CP target of 10,000 hectares committed to the forest transformation chapter. Devastating forest and forest fires occurred which affected the rural economies and endangered indigenous flora and fauna, while also affecting the quality of the soil. The enforcement of legislation was stepped up to ensure the protection and conservation of wildlife resources. The department has finalized the State of the Forest Report of 2007-2009, which highlights major challenges as well as response measures to the forestry sector. The department participated in the COP16 in Mexico last year. The conference added value to the Copenhagen Accord, with discussion leading to the Cancun Agreement, including the establishment of the Climate Fund. A national climate change stakeholder conference facility includes not only for COP17 common policies, but also for the development of sectoral climate change mitigation and adaptation plan was held in August this year in Victoria, where various stakeholders, including members of the portfolio committee, also participated. DAF also formed part of the climate negotiation under the United Nations Convention on Climate Change, UNFCCC. The department has successfully won the bid to host the 14th World Forestry Congress in 2015, which will be held in KwaZulu-Natal. Funding has been made available for the floods that occurred in December 2010. The flood assessment has been established and the focus on the repair of damaged infrastructure. A vulnerability assessment on climate change was conducted and three vulnerable areas were identified in the southwestern part of the state and adaptation strategies are being developed. 571 commercial farmers, 2,000 smallholders, and 2,134 sustainable farmers adopted land use best practices. 25 fire protection associations were registered. Coming to the fisheries management. The transfer of rice policy and small fisheries were gazetted as we have earlier on alluded to, the same with commercial fishing rights. The program of coming to the relief measures pertaining to exemption and payments continued. here we're using the recreational quota, which has been made available to those small scale fisher folk who could not get the permit. In fisheries, all Apollon diving surveys were completed in Morubi. A preliminary joint survey was carried out in conjunction with industry stakeholders. Joint partnership with law enforcement and conservation agencies have been established and are maintained. For instance, with SAPS, with the South African National Defence Force, with the South African National Park, South KwaZulu-Natal, Ashamvula Wildlife, and the Solomon Islands Municipality. We have these initiatives that are designed to manage particularly Apollon poaching. We've concluded a draft fisheries policy strategy which is currently going through a consultative process. The research project on spawning sea urchins was successful. Phase one of the scallops grow-out trial was also completed. An initiative to expand aquaculture into rural areas is at an advanced stage. Negotiations were concluded with the University of Cape Town, Rhodes, KwaZulu-Natal, Stellenbosch, and Cape Town to enter into MOUs with DAF to undertake aquaculture research. A program aimed at promoting equitable and sustainable management and efficient use of foreign living resources is progressing well with the development of small-scale fisheries policy. Additional fishing rights on account of available total allowable effort allocated in large practice fishery and appeal has also been finalized. Stakeholder engagement on alternative livelihoods and projects have been identified for implementation. The management program for rebuilding depleted fish stocks is showing positive results, though at a slow pace, with regard to both rock lobster and hake. The 40% target of landing inspections has been achieved to strengthen surveillance and compliance to permit conditions. As I said, Chairperson, I will now move on to the last bit of my presentation and after that invite the CFO to take us through the financials. We would see the challenges as those that relate to the length of the legislative process against the pressure of delivery. We have got to do lots of legislation. This also impacts on how speedy you can do anything. There's also the challenge of intergovernmental relations, which can also be seen as a hindrance to implementation. I want to share with the portfolio committee that we have just, through the quarterly review meeting that we had last week, agreed and have identified people who would be part, first of all, commodity conduct, so that each commodity will got someone from the department who works with those commodity associations. But more importantly, we've identified directors who will adopt and work with the municipalities across the country, visiting those municipalities once a month and spending a week in those municipalities. This is one instrument and intervention we're making available to reinforce intercommunal relations and also that we understand the fact that there is no agriculture on the ground. We've consolidated the departmental focus. The departmental focus, that is the amalgamation, has taken a longer time than we had hoped for. We also have got pressures on available appropriate technical skills. But our such rescues as agricultural engineers and economists, and we are trying to look at a way to attend to this challenge. Resources to deal with emergency pest eradication requirements still remain a challenge. We still have got to strengthen our stakeholder relations and engagements so that we can all reinforce our work. I think the previous discussion on the task that the NAMC manages. It is important and relevant to us. One of the things that we're talking about is how we can use those tasks to reinforce the areas where government is putting resources so that all resources can dovetail on one area. So that we do not put resources here and the tasks are putting resources elsewhere. We need to reinforce so that we can have more impact. Another challenge is limited public and private investments in storage facilities that could support smallholder farmers. Who experience limited or no access to storage infrastructure, both in agriculture as well as in forest sector. But more importantly for us is also the absence of what we call a logistic framework that can support smallholder agriculture. That was not here in this country. The former homelands were just developing as reservoirs for labor, not as places for optimal economic development. We are hoping and we're working to change that. The same point is that we've got a low share of agriculture and forestry in the freight to total freight moved by Transnet. We are, of course, engaging with Transnet, and there is a committee that is looking at how this parasitic can reinforce us in the whole challenge of moving goods of the agricultural sector. There's also a challenge of implementing our commodity strategies because of lack of resources. However, we are looking at and talking to developmental finance institutions and as well as the resources that are available in the trust to ensure that we can have a properly constituted commodity strategy. With that, Chairperson, I'm almost through the last point is that we are working to align standardization of M&E responsibilities, including reporting and verification of our work together with the provinces and state of Mombasa. And we're trying to do our part to improve the performance of our information. I would like at this stage, Chair, to invite the CFO to take us through the financials. Thank you very much.
Thanks, DG. Chairperson and honorable members, I would like to go back to the point that was raised by the DG on Program 6, where he was talking about funding that has been made available for the floods. National Treasury has given us $149.56 million as a grant for the repair and replacements for flood damage resources, and that would be coming in adjustment estimates. And then going back to a page that is headed financial statements, the department is happy to announce that it also had an unqualified audit report, and I must state that this does not include the Marine Living Resource Fund, but also that fund itself had an unqualified audit report. But then there were areas of concern that were raised by the Auditor General. I will run through some of them. For example, under the presentation of information, they were saying that we didn't give them adequate explanation for major variances between planned and actual targets. And then under the usefulness of information, they were saying our targets were not specific and in some cases were not measurable. And then in terms of our indicators and measures, some of our indicators were not clear. And then other indicators also were not verifiable to the required performance. And then under the reliability of information, they spoke about the validity, accuracy, and completeness that could not be established. So there they were talking about our source documents. We could not provide them with source documents. And then under other matters, the content of a strategic plan, their main point was that it did not include measurable objectives. And then under the material misstatement, this relates to the evaluation for the indigenous forests. I think we used a evaluation that was for 2011-12 instead of 10-11. And as such, when they had their independent evaluator, they noted that instance, and they notified the department, and we corrected that particular mistake. But you will appreciate that by the end of May, when we gave them that information, it had the wrong valuation, but when they were doing the actual audit, we corrected that. And then in terms of irregular expenditure, we had irregular expenditure, I think, of 1.0 0.65 million, and I think the committee can take note that in the previous year, the department had a 15.109 million amount of irregular expenditure. And then under procurement, in two provinces, especially Limpopo and KZN, they identified that the regions that we have didn't follow the three written price quotation route. And I'm also happy to state that we have trained the relevant people within the two affected provinces and regions, and also other regions that we have in the department. Then the next page, I think, if you allow me, Chair, that I skip it. The only one area that I want to state there is the issue of the variance. I think we underspend on 103 million. And on the next page is an explanation of the underspending. For example, we acquired this building for the forestry branch, and that building was not occupied by year end. And as such, we had ring-fenced the money for the rental. So as such, we didn't spend that money. And then there was a CASP or transfer payments that were withheld. For CASP, there was 33.658 million that was withheld. And then the provinces, if I may be specific, the Eastern Cape, I think 16.004 was withheld. Free State, 7.578 million was withheld, and the Northwest, 10 million. And then for Ilima Lisima, 7.5 million was withheld. And then that 5 million was for Eastern Cape, and then 2.5 million was for Gauteng. I must say, under this transfer payment, we requested a rollover from National Treasury. National Treasury only approved the rollover for Northwest for the 10 million under CASP, and then 7.5 for the Eastern Cape. Then there was a fencing project in the Lesotho border for 2.9 million. And then there was a farmer register project. We had allocated 20 million. Out of the 20 million, by year end, 19.5 was not yet spent. And as such, we asked for the rollover, and it was given as such. And then the rest came out of the department, and that was not money that was ring-fenced. And then the next page talks about the different programs, how we have spent against the final appropriation. And if you allow me, Chair, I wouldn't go through that. And then the last one talks about the different functions, the compensation of employees. We spend 99.9%, goods and services 93.6%. And then on transfer and subsidies, it was 97.4%. And then payments for CAPEX assets was 91.8%. And then payments for financial assets, it was 96.9%. I thank you.
You're done, TJ? You're done. Members, that gives you a composite picture of both the department and also the entities identified to present their annual report. See Mr. Abram, Mr. Toit, Dr. Foster.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank the presenters for the presentation. But, Chairperson, there is very little meat in this presentation. Extremely little. Be that as it may, I have many problems, Chair, with this particular department. Firstly, Chairperson, there's supposed to be a census of farmers that the department is busy complying. They call it the Farmer Register Project, for which 19,509,000 has been spent. We've got no information in the presentation about how it was spent, for what it was spent, and what was the outcome. What is important here is monies have been voted by Parliament. We need to know what were the outcomes. What did we achieve of the budget that was made available? So we need to have an answer on that, Chairperson. And then I may also add that one reads the national press, one finds that there are a hell of a lot of complaints, that certain people were not known in this matter, certain stakeholders, farmers organizations were not consulted, they know nothing about it. So I want to put a big question mark as far as the integrity of that process is concerned. Chairperson, the other day we had here the Red Meat Industry Forum, a very important role player in our country, bearing in mind that 27 million rand is the net input of point of sale contribution of especially the red meat industry. Bearing that in mind, their complaint was that they are trying to reach out to the department, they are trying to speak with the department, and unfortunately, the department is just not available to them. And Chairperson, I want to be open and blunt and frank and honest. I empathize with them, because I have tried on behalf of constituents to reach out to the department to get information. My letters are not answered. I spoke to somebody from the ministry who was kind enough to take up the issue, sent me an email to tell me that this is what he's done with my query. I never got a final response on that query. I personally spoke to the DG very early this year about a massive project in the Free State, a broiler project, where I succeeded together with Comrade Becky Khadebe to get the sponsors of that project to give us an opening for some of our people, our disadvantaged people, to become, under their mentorship, proper broiler producers. And we were given 3 slots. We could get 3 people into this project at 80,000 per cycle per person. I promised the DG that I'll send him an email, which I did. No response up to now. I went to another State Department, response within 2 weeks. And they've already signed a memorandum of understanding, that particular State Department, sponsoring those 3 people. And we got the provincial department to sponsor 2 more. So we've got 4 people that will be participants amongst 43 new broiler growers. That particular broiler project, Chairperson, is going to create an abattoir employment of at least over 1,000 people. This is the seriousness with which this department looks at requests, at correspondence from members of Parliament. In many cases, we have no personal interest in it. In all my cases, I've got no personal interest. At my age, I don't want to become a multi-millionaire. I'm comfortable enough. But still, the department does not come back to you. So we would like to know from the department, and if the Red Meat Industry Forum had made requests to see them, why was there no engagement with them? Chairperson, regarding the issue of the animal diseases, it is precisely the problem that the Red Meat Industry Forum is facing. We have fences that have actually broken down. The Lesotho one is not the major problem. It does not bring in diseases like foot and mouth. The problem is the ones that are on the northern parts of the country, those fences. And as a result of the fact that the fences were not maintained, we've had a foot and mouth outbreak there. And do we realize, Chair, that if the OIE redlines us, we're in trouble with our meat and exports and things like that. Chairperson, there's a lot more that one can talk about. For example, I would love to know that in this particular budgetary year, 2010-2011, how many new smallholder farmers did we establish? You see, Chairperson, if one looks at the information that is provided here, especially on these slides, it is all just little statements. Now, I want to give you one or two little examples, Chair. For example, Chair, this slide on page 15, the bottom one, agriculture production, health and food safety. We are told here that there are so many things that the department is doing, has done. A total of 1415 beef farmers with a herd size of 15,113 animals were assisted in the beef improvement scheme. We would like to know where those farmers are so that when we have to do oversight work, we can do it. And I may add that some of us do oversight work without parliamentary expenses or government expense. We do it on our own because we've got a passion for it. So in short, Chairperson, there are a number of pages here where I have made comment. Page 13, for example, both slides. We are saying, give us full details. When you say that to effective, owing to effective coordination of training, a total of 31474 members of communities, including 10298 smallholder farmers, were trained through CASP, of which 2606 were the youth. We don't have that information, Chairperson. I mean, we are given a global figure. Tell us that in Mpumalanga, in the district of this and that, this is what we've done. Then when we go there, we know what to look for. We know what we are going to find. And Chairperson, I'm going to finish up for this round, and that is that if one looks at the report by the CFO, I'm afraid, Chairperson, if I look at what the Auditor General has said, we were given some brief explanations. But what is very vital here is that we would like from the CFO, and I don't think he'll be able to do it for us today, to give us in writing his responses to everything that the Auditor General has highlighted. Now, I don't want to go through them all. It's all in front of us. They have highlighted a number of problems that they have encountered. So we need to have that information, Chairperson. The final one is that there were two forensic audits done that we were aware of. The one had to do with Ngeha farms. The other had to do with the fishing sector. We hear from outside that both these audit reports are available. Up to now, this committee, a parliamentary committee which has to see to it that budgets are passed, that the expenditure of those budgets are monitored, is up to now totally in the dark. It does not know what has happened. It does not know what the report is. It does not know what the findings are. We cannot, Chairperson, as Parliament, be held in the dark to such an extent where we don't know what's going on. But you read snippets in the paper, you'll find something here and you'll find something there. And I am not a foggist that must go around looking for information like that. It is the duty of the department to keep this committee posted on the various stages of the development of whatever reports they are busy with. We should know what is going on. And I think, Chairperson, we'll have to work out some or other methodology that on a quarterly basis, we need to find certain information. And Chairperson, I just want to, unfortunately, Mr. Gayla is not here, but he spoke to me earlier. He's gone to for medical problems. Earlier this year, there was an announcement that in this particular year's budget, 2010, 2011, 50 million rand worth of tractors and implements were going to be made available to communities. Two provinces are said to have received them. Up to now, we haven't got the report. We don't know how many tractors were given, to whom, what, when, how, where. We have nothing of that. And that was Mpumalanga and KwaZulu-Natal. In the other provinces, Chairperson, there's been nothing. I'm finishing up, Chair. Now, Chairperson, the issue here is that Honorable Member Patekile Holomisa is reported in the New Age as having written a letter to the minister asking why his province, the Eastern Cape, was not given anything. And he copied that particular letter to the office of the president. And according to the New Age, now I can let you have that cutting, the presidency was advised by the ministry that the process of procuring those tractors and implements were compromised. And therefore, those other seven provinces were not given anything. We would like to know here from the DG, has the process been compromised as the paper reports? What was the compromise? What went wrong? And who is responsible for having made something go wrong? Has anybody been charged? Has any effort been made to see that the matter is put right? And when will those other seven provinces be getting their tractors and equipment? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Tutoi? Mama, give us my phone after. Sorry, hand.
Chairperson, yes. It's a lot in this annual report that we could discuss, and I don't think one day will be enough. But I have to point out that I'll jump around a little bit here, open on page 95, and there's a report from the Auditor General on the usefulness of the information. It speaks to the programs 3, 5, and 6. And when we look at these, 3 is economic development, trade and marketing. 5 is agricultural production, health and food security. And number 6 is forestry and natural resources management. But there are serious allegations here that the department is not supplying enough information and verifiable information. So this is a serious administrative problem. We have here on page 79, well, everybody gets there. We have at the bottom, right at the bottom, the internal audit, as reported in the prior year, that the risk management process still has to be undertaken. The audit committee considers the internal audit function to be under-resourced and internal audit cannot operate optimally given its current resource and budget in order to address the risks pertinent. Now, this is a 1 year later. And so it goes on. On the previous page, 78, you will see the effectiveness of internal controls. Again, as reported in prior years, and so on and so on. And on page 92, there's the effect of asset management. Okay, so losing, taking a loss of 659,000 rand on asset sales is maybe unforeseen, but could be that the assets was overstated, okay? So when you realize in the selling, or there was something wrong there in the selling, but we need to know what's going on there. Then on page 94, 95, again, I discussed that one, I believe, about the usefulness of the information is correct. Then on 96, Now, it says there in the bottom, number 24, leadership. The accounting officer did not exercise oversight responsibility over reporting and compliance with laws and regulations and internal controls. Control weaknesses reported are not in all cases analyzed by management, and appropriate follow-up actions are not taken to address the root causes impacting on the financial and performance reporting. I don't know if the accounting officer hasn't got enough people reporting to him to attend to these things. But if the Auditor General says there's a lack of leadership, we must take it seriously, because this is where we are dealing on this level. We're dealing with leadership. Sometimes we go into nitty-gritty, and we have to, because there's some devil in the detail, but in general, we're looking at the top part of it, the strategies and the management and the leadership. And then on the next page, 97, is being referred to the investigations. Now, we discussed this yesterday. We saw, right, it is 6 months now since the 31st of March, and it's 10 weeks after the Auditor General has signed off on this. And somewhere the executive authority are sitting on these investigations. Now, it says here, and remains with the executive authority for consideration. What, consider what? Whether it's steps need to be taken or what, you know. But Parliament should know about this. You know, I think if it's been 6 months or 10 weeks ago and there's nothing coming, then Parliament should be informed about these investigations. We don't actually know what was precisely investigated. And we're talking here about who are we? We represent the people, and the people pay their taxes, and they need somebody to look after that and how it's being done. So if there's an investigation and somewhere in that circle there's a problem, then it comes back to us. We must have oversight, and we must know what is going on here. It is not only for the consideration of the minister, it's only for us, also for consideration of us. And so I can go on. Some of the questions that we've alluded to yesterday was answered by the financial officer, and I just want to support what Honourable Salam Abraham has said about some of these paragraphs here. It's a bit nonsensical. I take the one in number 6, for instance, on the top block, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth bullet. By improving the competitiveness of the commercial sector and supporting smallholders to become commercially viable, the country positively overcoming the challenges of a concentrating sector and an increasingly competitive global market. Now, what has been said here? It's just a nice lot of words being put together. Where's the practicality? What does this mean? What does this really mean? What are we doing? What are we getting out of this? Where's the plan? Where's the business plan? How's it going to go? How much? It's just nice words, and we can't play around with nice words. We have to be practical, and we have to look at these things in a practical manner. Now, my time's running out, but I just want to point out number 40. As an oversight, as a committee, when I say we need information, and we can't, you know, it's useless for me to read things and there's nothing in it. In page number 14, the top one, if you could put it on, there's 4 bullets, and the second last one is about a subsistence, 5,000 subsistence farmers were supported with production inputs and mechanization through the project there, and resulting in so many hectares of land planting. But what are the results? Could they produce this at a profit? What did they get for the prices? Do we monitor that? Because we are putting money in, and we're putting effort in, and we're really trying to help these people to get going. But what are the results? I want to know, what are the results here? It's fine to know that we've actually planted 127,000 hectares, but believe me, I've seen many hectares being planted and nothing happens afterwards. So So we need that. The next one is exactly the same. Mpumalanga province through the and the use of mechanization provided by that planted 75,000 hectares of grain and sorghum for their subsistence farmers. How many farmers? What were the results once again? How can we just give money, it plants, and we've got no results? What do we learn from it? We've got to learn from the results. Because if we don't learn from the results, how are we going to rectify the problem and address the problems and go forward? So maybe you have it. I agree. Maybe you have all these. But from an oversight point of view, we've got to know. If you go to the trouble to point out these 2 points, why not just tell us? You know, they produced a profit, they got so many tons, and, you know, we just missed the profit, but we did. So if you go to the trouble to point out these two, impress us with the results. So we can see that you are also learning from it, and then we can address our task of oversight. So the challenges here on page 24: intergovernmental relations as a hindrance to implementation. Challenges. Okay, you mentioned it. It's important. But now, for me and for anybody else who reads this, there needs to be a little bit more meat around this. Thank you.
Mama Pilat Mapana.
Chairperson, thank you. I'm going to start the page 7 of this monarchist. And the vacancy rate. My question is, as we are speaking now, how it is per percentage? Because the last time it was 11.3%. Page 12. The plan to convert the 12 colleges of agriculture is in an advanced stage. Chairperson, these colleges, they are scattered throughout the country. We would like to know in a proper reporting that in the Limpopo, we had a 3 or 2. When we said they are in advanced stage, what do we mean? Province by province. Because as long we have been talking about this college, so why are they closed? And again, on page 13, the extension officers, the 670 chairperson, to me, it's just a drop in the sea. It's just a drop in the sea. Because as we are speaking, we did not have them. They are not there, these people. And the 600, you know, a country with 9 provinces, no, we cannot count the 670 extension officers. No, this is just a drop in the sea, department, DG. And I want to come again on tractors. And, you know, department, you can't come before us. You told us that the remaining 7 provinces, those tractors will be available. But we don't see any report anywhere to tell us how far are you. And we were in Mpumalanga, oversighting. We found some of these tractors. They were parked somewhere, and they are still new. When we asked, why are they parked here? They said, no, when you want them, you have to go through tender processes. We would like to find out from department how we know. We thought these tractors are there to help our communities. But those ones are parked there. And they are still new. Where we were, they said only 18. we are used. Some are there. You must go through tender process. Now, we would like to know, because in fact, we as the committee on this department, we are the people who should explain better to people down there. Mm-hmm. And we don't have any explanation to tell. And again, Chairperson, when coming to AG's report, you know, he has made it very simple for us to see what is going on. You know, you see this faces, you know, the green. The green means the work is being done. And you look in this department, you find only four greens. The rest is yellow and red. And under governance, there is absolutely nothing. And here, the Auditor General is saying, although a risk assessment was conducted during the year under review, the risk management strategy and fraud prevention plan had not been finalized, approved, and implemented as per the requirements of the Treasury regulations. And also, in this report, Auditor General, you know, accounting officer, even 1.5 million is a lot of money. It doesn't say because in the last one it was 15 and unfruitful expenditure. It doesn't. No, we don't. We need a clean. 1 million is a lot of money. You know, how many houses, FDP houses can? How many farmers, the emerging farmers, can be helped by 1.5 million? Is a lot of money. You know, it's a lot of money, and we would like to see maybe next year. This pictures. If they can just pull off the greens at least, like the two entities which has already presented, they have done their best, but the motherboard is sick and hard. The motherboard is not doing well here, and we would like to urge you, department, next time. Of course, we will be here next year. The election is still very far. We will be here. And still the AG will make something like this for us. And this, we will keep this so that next time, next year, this time, we'll be having this on our right hand and the new one, and comparing. Or how far did you went from now? Thank you, Chairperson. You know, it's a lot. These things are so many. And as the committee, some of this, we are in the dark. We don't know. We don't know them. And even how to respond, we can't. Thank you. We are not happy, in fact.
Mr. Duterte was almost saying, by the time it's 2014, he would have long retired. Dr. Postman, followed by Mrs. Carter and Mama Parisa.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think one must be honest when we make statements here today. And I want to, first of all, say thank you for the department of bringing this document to us, but I want to agree with my colleagues that the proof of the pudding is in the eating of it. And over this past year, I've really come under the impression of the failure of this department. Why do I say that? I mean, you can look at this document. It hasn't got the it doesn't speak to the issues that is necessary on the ground, and that is what I want to refer to. All these things are nice when you look at it on paper. You can tell me how many jobs were created, how many loans were given, but if you go down, and we've been on oversight many times this year, and I'm still to be convinced that any farm, any new emerging farmer in this country, really, under the auspices of the department, is making a success, because I haven't seen any. I've seen billions of rands being wasted on the ground by the department not knowing on what is going on the ground. They tell us that they've got programs, they've got plans, and I can refer you to a lot of these issues. But if you go down and you find out what is happening, then you find that all those projects are insolvent. We've been to many of them. That has been, you know, people don't even know how much money has been spent on some of the projects. I can remember one project when we asked them how much money was spent. They didn't really know. They said it might be 109 or maybe 159 million, and then afterwards another 24 million. And you know what? They owed 600,000 rands to Eskom. There was nothing going on. Not a tractor that is moving. They're all standing on stones. All the crops have died. All the water has been cut off. What I want to tell you, Chair, it's nice to bring us a document. It's nice to bring us a document to tell us how many jobs have been created. You know, it amazes me that people can think that we are so ignorant that we don't understand what is happening. I've been in agriculture for many, many years, but I'm very, very upset at the moment. I'm not really very optimistic about the future if we carry on like this. We can look at, if I start at administration, and maybe we should start at administration. You know, people are employed, but they don't know what qualifications they've got. They wait for months here to say that they want to see what security checks and SACWA verifications. If a person comes to apply for a job, he must have a reference. He must at least have a reference of his track record and his qualifications. It amazes me. Sir, if I look at what they've really needed, this, and my colleague has also referred to the colleges. If we don't put people through a college, an agricultural college, to train them how to farm, you will never get farmers on the ground. Never get farmers on the ground. That is the basic thing that you've got to learn, how to manage a farm financially otherwise. And then you go to a farm and you work on the farm for 5 or 10 years before you can own a farm, because then only you know how to run that farm. To try and tell me that we want to change the 12 agricultural colleges now to training institutes, what's the difference? If I want to have a short training course, we've had many training institutes in South Africa. They were all closed down because they didn't like them. But they were the only training institutes that worked. At Potchefstroom, there was law school training, or what is it called? You know which one I mean. Very, very excellent training facilities. Now they want to change the colleges to training facilities. Let me make a recommendation today, Chair. Let us change this agricultural college system, give them to the Department of Higher Education. They know how to train people. And then we can just put the people in and have them trained. There's no other way that you can do it. If people are not trained, they will not make a success. I've seen it now on the ground. They must be properly trained. Come and talk about vulnerable workers. What is the role of the Department of Labor? What must we do with vulnerable workers? There's continuous inspections on farms. I own a farm. I see an inspector every 3 months on my farm. They come and check everything. They speak to the workers. They give us a report on what's going on the farm. Now they want a forum for them. That is what the Department of Labor is there for. So, I want to come back to what my colleague said on the red meat industry forum. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had one of the best presentations from a commodity organization or a forum that I've been in this parliament, that I've seen. we were supposed, we're not supposed, you asked the department to give us a written report. Written report. She was in the chair. Okay, if then now they say we've got a written report, but you know, that document was this thick. It spelled out everything that was wrong in this in the management of this department. And Honorable Abrams has also indicated that they said that they would themselves make themselves available. How many times to the department? They didn't even recognize them. That's why they turned to us. They turned to us to come and make a presentation here with qualified people. I mean, they brought three attorneys with them. We must really look at ourselves at what are we doing in the department to solve these problems. What is the connection? And I see that there's an intergovernmental relation. You know, the department doesn't even know what is the provinces doing, what the provinces are doing. Now I hear that they want to speak to the municipalities. The municipalities can't even manage themselves. They cannot manage farms. They have no expertise to manage a farm. So I really can't understand what is going on here. If there's no people that understands agriculture in the department, they must get people to understand it, that can run the business. Because otherwise we'll get nowhere. And I'm serious today. I'm very upset about the situation. I've seen this agricultural sector in South Africa going down from a huge foreign exchange earner. Now that we cannot really supply ourselves with food anymore. We've got insecurity of food because of the neglect, the insecurity of management and what have you. So I'm calling on the department really today. I can go into all these little statements here to say what is happening, but I'm telling you, I haven't even touched on the food and mouth and the disease sector. Another disaster. I myself is an exporter of cattle, of bulls. I export bulls to Swaziland every year. I cannot get the permit to get my bulls into Swaziland at the moment for those people to use them. It's a no-go situation. Yeah. Thank you.
Mama Palisa.
Thank you, Jefferson. TJ, the Marine Living Resources Fund, I wish I could also say it's a clean audit. Yes, on paper it is. Yes, the Auditor General has stated that. Yes, it's got green faces. But I'm living on it on marine area. That is where I'm living. I wish I could point out on the ground where is this fund working? What is this fund doing? I wish I could point out it did alleviate poverty in our community. I question this report of the audit. I really do. If it was up to me, I was going to send the SIU to this fund. From where I'm sitting, I really do know. All is not there. Not all there in the marine life. So there can't be a marine living resource fund that got a clean audit without deliverables on the ground. There are no deliverables. I can say that. From where I'm sitting, I've got messages, calls, even from where I'm sitting now, 5 minutes ago, got an SMS from the people who are living are supposed to be to have a life out of paying living resources fund. So it's not true. That's paperwork. DJ, I wish also I can recommend that the Auditor General South Africa to be the auditors of this fund and not a separate branch just in the Western Cape. It's also questionable. And I have to agree with Mama Pilos. At page 96 in the annual report, number 21, the accounting officer did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure. It's a worrying factor. If you are not strict, you want to be a nice guy, your work is not going to be very nice. If you want to be liked by people around you when you're working with them, they are going to mess up. Rather have no friends, but be effective to the poor people. Because this department is really working with food security, nothing else. And if we are not going to transform it, we cannot say that, we are not free. We have transformed nothing yet, if you are looking to the poverty on the ground. Members have spoken, and I don't want even to waste time, Chairperson. I just wanted to be that short. I don't want to repeat what members have said, but I've got a very big question on the Marine Living Resources Fund, on the British DG. Thank you, Chair.
Mama Kata and Mama Pala.
Thank you, Chair. Now, I must say, I think that I'm feeling exactly the same as all the other members, and Chair, with your permission, I want to say to this department that if in previous years, that, and I'm saying it through you, Chair, if in previous years they think that they could tap on around paper, wording on paper, those days are gone. We, as a committee, are serious about food security in this country, firstly. Secondly, we work and we want to see practically what is happening. And it is I don't want to repeat, but I have to repeat. I mean, if we look at, let's go to the Agri Congress, where the department or members of the department was there. Let's go to committee meetings where we sat with the department in meetings as well. Has anything been done to the plight of farmers that was saying in poultry and in the red meat sector? Has anything been done about jackal, caracal, all the type of things? No, before we know, there is not going to be any meat in this country left. The amount of sheep that we're losing, but what is the department doing? Has anything been done? That is what we want to know. Let's go to agri-colleges. How many agricultural schools are there? We're talking about public schools. Public schools in KwaZulu-Natal, where you have to live in the hostel, okay, at 28,000 rand for the year. And your school fees in this public school, that is not a private school, okay, is amounting to 35,000. How can we have an agricultural school like that where which family can afford to pay 70,000-80,000 rand a year? That's 8,000 rand a month, 7,000 rand a month. And I need to add to what Honourable Bosman was saying with the projects that failed. We keep on reinvesting in failed projects. When are we going to stop that? I mean, let's go for example, we say one of the projects we went to in the Free State, and it wasn't only one, there was many of it, where there was a feeding lot. Cattle was provided, what happened? The cattle was sold, and then we bought only with half the money cattle on. Now those were sold, now there's nothing. Now, please, government, please, department, give more money. I'm not even going to go into the presentation, Chair. It's of quite a grave concern to me if we look at the annual report, and we can start off here where, on page 2 of the annual report, where the minister's foreword is saying food security, that the May surplus of 2019 production season, which was the result of the good harvest, is to our advantage because less maize was planted in 2010-2011 than during the previous season. Now, I must honestly say, maybe I'm totally wrong, but if we're going to say it's a good thing that we are planting less, we are planting the wrong seed. Because what happens if we plant there and we then all of a sudden have bad weather, too much rain, too little rain, drought, whatever? We're going to sit with food insecurity. Well, we're not going to have enough. I would rather say that we should get to a stage where we should not say to farmers, plant less, so that you can say to the farmer, then you will have a better price. Let's rather have a look and say, let's plant more. And then look at the alternative of not as grapes that are not that good to use it for biofuels. Something else that I need to say to this committee, and Chair, you've got to be patient with me, but I'm going to ask you 3x4 questions, is just the absence of a deputy minister. You know, as you being sidelined, what is happening? Why do we never see the deputy minister? Yes, the minister was here this morning. She represented herself here for a short while, leave. And those are definitely questions that need answered. On page 3, we're talking under the market access and international trade. We are talking about the World Trade Organization and that there's currently draft agricultural modalities under negotiation. Now, when can we see that draft negotiations that's going on? Because I think that the committee should see it as well. We all know what's happened to the cotton sector in this country. There's no cotton left. That takes me to what has happened to the project that the department has saved at the Makatini flat. That's cost millions and millions of rand. And it's just quiet. There's nothing about it. Which would have been in the same financial year.
Sorry, I just want to get to the page 93. Then just on page 93 of the annual report, this is the status of outstanding debt, which was from 1998. Now, as of the 31st of March, if I look at it, the total debt outstanding is 1.14 million. Number of debtors, well, that is still outstanding is 1,102 out of previous debt, 1998 was 9,614. And the number of account debt is 1,490. The net amount recovered has been 15 million in 2010-2011. What was the term of those? Was it 15 years, 20 years? Do we have any problems? Do we have, for example, debt that was, these loans that we incurred where the actual farmer passed on, or all that type of things? You know, if you can just get a little bit more information on that. I'm not going to repeat the variances and all of those on page 95. And then, yeah. Chair, I would just like to, I've got maybe 2 more minutes. Just on the same happy, smiley faces, I actually wanted to just add to it, to say, just for the department itself now, I'm not talking about any of the other departments, okay, but the department itself. There is 4 green faces, which is wonderful. There's 12 red faces, which means this is really bad news. And there's 26 yellow faces. Now, the department is the one that is going to decide and implement whether that 26 yellow faces, which is the warning sign, is going to become 20 yellow or 26 red faces, or whether you are going to make it 26 green faces. Now, I really hope that the department will take a copy or have a copy of this so that they can work on this. Then I would like to also ask whether the management report is going to be made available to this committee, even if it's a closed meeting, but I think that the management report should be made available. So I think let me stop at that.
Thank you. The last one is the Mamatwala. Ngos will be the last one.
I want to be repeating what my colleague said. My question will be directed to the CFO. I just want to know, because I don't understand. He kept on saying, we understand on this, we understand. Why is this understanding when there is so much that we saw when we were doing the oversight in the provinces, that there was a lot that had to be done by the department to help those emerging farmers? Projects have just collapsed, but there is understanding. So I don't see how does this work. And also, the funds that were pumped to the provinces, why is it that they were withheld? Because as members have been saying, there is no meat. You just hear that, understand money, funds withheld. Or so I just want to know why. Thank you.
Thank you, Chapter. May you please call me to order because I'm out of what is being discussed in the committee, Chairperson. But my concern is around what is experience when you're on oversight. If I may ask, what role does the department play with regards to things that the projects that are funded by the department, the provinces, are seen to be a success? The follow-up on progress report on those projects. If I may make an example, in one of the farms in the Free State where we were, there is a farmer who managed to buy land for himself, and he had everything still standing, that is the tractor that he had. But only find that some farmers who have been having a lot of funding from department have continuously been allocated funds to continue developing their farms, whereas there is that farmer who is just there without anybody to assist him or without any assistance from the department. What role actually is the government playing in regards to think to that these farms that were bought for farmers to make a farmer to see to them that they get developed, they move away from the being called emerging farmers and developing farmers. That's my question. Thank you, sir.
Those are the questions, TG. My last ones would be very, very quickly. I see in the presentation there was something mentioned about some figures of hectareage in Eastern Cape and KZN on our forestation program. Last time I remember, we were talking about 100,000 hectares. But I see the target is towards 10,000 between Eastern Cape and KZN. I think that was last year sometime. The second one relates to, which I didn't hear much about, cost and underspending and money being taken back to the National Treasury. If you could just, I hear a figure of, you know, 7 million for Eastern Cape, I can't remember, you know, what else. Now, one of the issues related to CASP, whilst it is provinces that, you know, get those grants, I'm very worried about the role that the national government plays. Because that CASP grant, left all by itself, has Sarah has been subjected to all sorts of, I don't want to use the word abuse, but you do not find a number of people who really deserve those, being able to access, you know, that that grant, as it were. To an extent, it is literally left to provinces, which we don't have oversight over as a committee of parliament here, as to whether there is any amount of oversight by the province. We're not too sure about that. But at the end of the day, people who disperse that, those kinds of monies, I want to believe that you should really take a full responsibility over the usage of those, or rather the counting part of it. Thanks, dear TG. The floor is yours.
Okay. Sorry. The minister in the House, during question time, he said that the department is going to revise the irrigation schemes of the former TPV states. How far is that within this budget? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Before we respond to the question, I would like to allocate some of the questions to my colleague. Okay. I think the issue of training broadly, all the questions are relating to training. I'd like to ask Mr. Komoko to answer them. I think all those that have to do with finance, I hope you are for listening. Can you answer more to all of those questions? The issues raised by Mount Beatrice on the vacancy rate, can Mr. Tombela answer those questions? The same on College of Agriculture, Pacho, can you answer those? I think also the one of an extension officer. Okay. Then there are offered all those on some finance. I would like again to stay for the answer. Let me take some of the questions and then my colleagues will follow. I think the first point I would like to raise is that, and I think that I will appeal to honorable members to maybe look at this. The problem we have, Chairperson, is what we want, we can call concurrent. That is where you've got two authorities on one thing. Called concurrent. What that means is that even if we set parameters on anything, we are not the sole implementer of it. And actually, if we're not careful around how we implement it, we may be seen to be interfering. So that's the first thing. So even the CASP, okay, in the past, okay, all headquarters would do would be to get the applications from the provinces and allocate the money and then meet the provinces the following year. Now, we have changed that. Okay? However, I'm not reporting about that change. Because I'm reporting of the 2011 financial year. Not the year where we've tried to change things. We're reporting of what was happening in the past. And we have got to report about that as openly and as frankly as we can. So that's the first thing I'm going to say. Now, what have we done? I have, again, in the course of the presentation, mentioned that we have just now allocated individuals in the department because we are also aware that the relationship between the department and commodity groups, firstly, is not good. Yes? Okay. We have now said identified individuals in the department that will link up with all the commodity groups so that if the Red Meat Society has got anything, any problem that it wants, its point of contact is not necessarily myself, its first point of contact. It is an allocated director who will deal with them, okay, all the time, who will help people on top of the issues that deal with the Red Meat industry. Secondly, we have said, on our members, that we're not saying that people are going to be working within municipalities, Dr. Posma. What we are saying is that we can no longer hand over the implementation of projects to provinces. Whilst we have got to be careful on how we do this thing, we are now going to also involve ourselves. Now, what I want to say, maybe people are not aware of this, governments definitely, from my own experience, were not necessarily designed, or the department, since the transition in the department, is not necessarily to implement projects. The competence of the people in the department, okay, it is to do policies, it is to do regulation. Okay? That's why when it comes to disease, etc., you've got people who can effectively respond to those things, can move. This issue of department, but not the national department, etc., implementing projects is something somewhat new. Okay? And there's not yet even systems of doing it, actually. Okay. My experience, okay, has been to, I remember at the beginning of this year, the presidency demanded, I remember this was the year that was the year for job creation. Okay? And true to that, we were asked to come up with jobs. Okay? The first meeting, I'll share this, it's an internal discussion, but I'll share it with the portfolio committee, was that the plan to implement these jobs were so poorly conceived that I had to dismiss the meeting and force people to reconvene. Okay? So it was clear to me that, and then, again, after almost a starting late last year, up until recently, when we were asking people to come with programs, we were working on two things. Say. Principal working on what we call the job creation plan. We identified all of these things, etc., etc. But it was clear that things were not moving. Okay? And instead of me blaming people, which is not what I'm going to try to understand what is the underlying cause. And the underlying cause is that the state, the present state that we have, was not designed for that. So people are not used to implementing projects. Now, the changes that we brought to enhance, we brought two things. Okay? The first one, unfortunately, teams of government, chairperson, move slow. This is how government operates. You may get activity as much as you want, but government will move slow. It's worse now with the stringent conditions that are there around financial property and financial management. So, we put out a tender around this campaign that we have of zero hunger. That we would need someone who can help us to roll it out. Because if, Honorable Abraham, we expect the department to do it, it will take some time. The people were adapt, it's not designed for that. Okay? So that's the first thing. The second thing that we've done, we have now, again, these were new changes, and people would, of course, second guess me. We said we wanted people on all these job creation projects, okay, but also in terms of implementation, the work that we want to do on promoting agriculture in the former homeland. We said that we wanted a list, of directors that must now work with those projects. Okay? We even take it further, okay, that we would want these people to spend a week every month on the ground, overseeing the projects, working with the people. We have only concluded that last week, that the list is out. I think we can circulate it so that even honorable members can know who is responsible for what where. So these are the kind of interventions that we've brought in to try and improve the situation. Whereby we're not saying, we're not just going to hand over to the provinces to do as they want. Okay? Yes, the provinces will run things, but we'll also be there and we'll be visiting those projects every month. That has not been done before, Chair. It's an improvement on the system that we're bringing. Now, I'm aware that some of these projects have not really worked well. When we have a position here, prior to the portfolio committee, but I don't think there was a clear endorsement of it, where we were saying that maybe it is about time that we move away from a grant into loans. So that if someone fails on the loan, they have been registered. They know that so they are not going to get the money again. Now, this was seen as a little bit of a radical measure. People felt that this will destroy agriculture, etc. So there was not There was not an appetite for it. Around this. Well, I had, my view was that we need to move away from the ground, because we cannot be putting man on a black hole that is not giving any results. I'm tabling this, but that would be the kind of direction that we would want to move. But again, because we cannot do this alone. Okay? The provinces have to buy into it, and they are used to this way of doing things. So I could say that they were reluctant to say that we should move in this direction. So I can move quickly on it, even though I can see that this is the most correct direction to take. So that if you give you a loan, you are unable to work on the ground, you are unable to service that loan, you know that, and with all the conditions have been there to help you, we know that you'll be taken out of the system. So what I'm saying here is that to move from one policy framework to another is not as easy as that. Okay? But rather if you're going to have a buy-in of your other colleagues. So the central question that has to be addressed, it cannot be addressed by me, it has to be addressed by all of us, is what are we saying about concurrence? What are we saying about the fact that there's not much I can do? Even if I want to intervene about this, I can influence things, I can shape things, but I cannot say, go this way, if you don't go this way, I will do this. Okay? So that challenge, which is the federal element in our system, is a little bit of a challenge. So I just want to raise those two things. Now, there is mention that is made about our relationship with some of the commodity groups, such as red meat industry. I do not want to say about that relationship made with the office of the minister, but I'm not aware of their letter to my office. That's the first thing I want to say. Secondly, I would like to say that if you look at the leadership of the red meat industry, but that is the black leadership of it. Okay? They are the same people who are leading what's called AFARPA, this new trade union, farmers union. And AFARPA, we work well with them. Even when we had problems with NAFU, the person we asked to rebuild NAFU was the coordinator of the red meat industry in NERPO. So when people say generally, I would work with us, I don't really know what. How do we give someone that you can work with about 3 million to revive another union? Yet you can talk to that person. As late as about 3 months ago, I did respond to them on some of the things, even on radio, because I find it ridiculous. I recently, we were having a meeting to plan the rollout of what we call this Rohanga campaign. And we invited them to plan with us. Yeah, that was a fast one. Okay? These are the same colleagues, same people who are also linked to the red meat industry. So I'm trying to understand what does this mean when you say that they cannot, were unavailable. I know these colleagues. One of them was even at university with me. So why all of a sudden can I not work with him when I've known him all my life? So I'm just saying that some of these questions we must be careful about easily being swayed that the department is not accessible, when most of the time the department even goes out of its way to bring some of these players into the fold. So we are committed, as I'm saying now, at least there's not going to be any reason for people to say that they're not interested. We now have appointed people to deal with every commodity. Okay? So if red meat or whatever associated meat people, the people are there. They can meet with them.
Check other questions before.
The issue around the absence of the deputy minister, I do not want to get into that one. All I can say is that we work with the entire ministry, and I'm not so sure. The lady there in the corner works for the office of the deputy minister. She's here in this meeting.
Some TV rules that I thought I needed to look at myself.
The question, I think the issue of the tractor.
We are aware of this situation, that people have alerted, have talked about in Mpumalanga, etc. Again, I think from the side of headquarters, we facilitated the transfer of Sekar to Mpumalanga. Okay? I think the work of how those directors are utilized is something that the Mpumalanga government has to deal with. Okay? Of course, we can engage with them. I think that we've tried to ensure in this round of the delivery of sectors, that issues of safe renewable sectors and the use of those sectors is also attended to. But they are now with that government, and it is them that have to ensure that those sectors are utilized. Once they are no longer managed by us, all the sectors that have been bought have been handed over to provinces. It is provinces that must primarily report on what happens to those sectors. Now, the issue of this verification, I also think I must talk about this one. Government has got strict, again, these are approved by Parliament. If someone applies for a job, there is at a certain level, the NIA is involved. Okay? The issue of the verification of certificate, okay, is that because people can say, I've got a master's degree from York University, it has to be checked whether that is the case or not. Now, those things do delay the processes. For instance, to make an example, we have appointed, there's a recommendation for someone to be appointed as DTG for trade and marketing. That person has not assumed duties because there are still all of these other processes. Even though we put the name forward for that person to go through, but there are all these other processes that have. Now, we don't make these regulations. These are regulations that are made by government. That's how government operates. We only work within the context of how government operates. So I think I have on the investigation, thank you. The NECA investigation, we have got the envelope here with the report from NECA, the forensic report, it's here, we're going to put it available to members. We just want to say that this is a very sensitive thing. It's got people named in it, and that it's confidential. It must be treated in such a way. But it's available. I think either when we finish the meeting, all honorable members will be given the NECA report. I wanted to say that. I think, can I invite Sandy for now as the CFO to comment on the financial one? He will be followed by Brazil, Oboche, on education. And then and Mr. Ndombela will follow on vacancies. And then on the diseases and outbreaks, Dr. Matra will comment on this. Okay, and then Mr. Seneca will talk to the job seekers in that order.
Thanks, teacher. I will start with the issue of the farmer register. In the previous year, we put aside 20 million for the farmer register. And by the end of March 2011, 19.5 of this was not yet spent. So I think, let's get it here, Mr. Abraham. 19.5 was not spent. Nowhere did I say it was spent. And then...
Sorry, can I just advise anybody, members who want to have tea, quietly in and out.
Then there was a request that I respond to the Auditor General's report. I think on page 94-97, I would like to highlight something to the members. I think if you go through paragraph 1 until paragraph 10, those relate to financial statements or figures. And from my reading of those paragraphs, I do not see an area where they are raising concerns around financial statements on that. But then, moving from paragraph 11 until paragraph 27. It relates to report on other legal and regulatory requirements. Now, there was a special request that I specifically respond to that. I would rather say the department as a whole should respond to that, because the most important thing is around our predetermined objectives. Now, I would request that the DG is around that. Let it be coming from his office instead of my office. And then the DG spoke about the issue of tractors. I would want to confirm that for the two provinces where we have allocated tractors, each province bought 84 tractors. And then there were other implements. I do not have the figures for the implements, but for the tractors, I know that it is 84 tractors. And each province was allocated 50 million.
84 per province?
84 in KZN, 84 in Bumala. No, ma'am, I think it's 84. 50 million, yes. Mama, I might be quoting 84, but I'm saying it's around the figure of 80s. But 84 is around. Okay. Then on page 78, where the audit committee was commenting around the issue of risk assessment, we had a lengthy discussion with the audit committee and also the auditor general around this. Personally, I don't believe this particular paragraph should be there. There were problems in terms of risk assessment in the department. That is a fact. But we engaged the National Treasurer earlier in the year to assist us to do a risk assessment process. And they assisted us. And then later, we got a firm of auditors, Deloitte and Touche, to assist us. The department currently has a risk profile. Now, at the time when the Auditor General was looking at our financial business, the risk assessment profile was already in place. But their argument was that they are auditing the 31st of March. Now, I've done auditing before. If you have rectified something, it should be noted here to say that this was the situation, but the department has moved to this stage. And then there was an issue around assets disposed, I think through auction or through, okay, yes. There was an amount of 3.126. That is the cost of the assets when we bought them. Now, obviously, assets have a depreciation factor. Now, something that you have bought 3 or 4 years ago, let's use a laptop. If you get a laptop that is costing 10,000 3 years ago, and then today it will be at zero. Now, if, for example, we sell it, and we sell it at another figure, it might either arise as a profit or a loss. But in most cases, you find that our assets are depreciating more than what they are supposed to be depreciating. Hence, we will always have a loss around them. And then on page 96, I would like to, under leadership, under paragraph 24, the statement by the Auditor General, where it says the accounting officer did not exercise oversight responsibility over reporting and compliance with laws and regulation and internal control. I'm somehow tempted to say I don't agree with them, and I will tell you why I'm saying that. In the department, we have come up with an audit matrix. When we're looking at the 2009-10 figures, we came with an audit matrix, and we identify all the audit findings that were raised by the Auditor General. And then we said, we'll have to address them.
Now, if, for example, you compare this annual report that we are looking at and the 2009-10, and then you ask yourself, where are the IT findings? We had problems with IT. We addressed the problem. We had a lot of problems with our performance information, and I'm comfortable that we are working around the issue of performance information, and we cannot just accept to say that there is no oversight. Maybe what they should have done is said to us is that we have not moved to some stage where they want us to go to. But in terms of what we have done, I believe we have done a lot. And if, for example, the members want to have a look at our audit metrics, even for this particular financial year that we are looking at, we have already started. We have an audit steering committee that sits on a monthly basis to look at the findings, how they are addressed. And then also on page 97, I want to talk about this issue of investigations. If, for example, we deny access to the Auditor General, that would be a scope limitation, and that would amount to a disclaimer. And I know for a fact that these reports for the investigation were handed over to the Auditor General, and hence they were able to identify the issue of irregular expenditure and wasteful expenditure and any other supply chain problem that they have identified. Now, I'm saying while some of us might not have seen this report, but the Auditor General had a look at it, and I don't believe that they should have commented the way they have done. But anyway, it's fine. Now, Mama, she's gone, okay. The usage of tractors, the issue of saying it's on a tender process in a province, I think that's very irregular if the province is doing that, or whoever is responsible for the tractors that has been given to the province to say that you'll use the tractors on a tender process. Then there was an issue of MLRF, that why is it audited by a different entity? I want to confirm that the MLRF is audited by the Auditor General. And the MLRF is a Schedule 3 public entity. Now, a public entity, according to the Treasury regulations, can have its own auditors. Now, that's what is happening with the MLRF. Now, for the one on the recoverability of debt, the terms of loan, I do not have figures here, and I would respond to the members on that on the recoverability of debt, as I think that was identified as a problem. Now, Mama, you spoke about the issue of the underspending. Why the underspending? I want to maybe go. I think it should be on the page. Okay, anyway, let me use my notes. Of the 103 million that we had as an underspending, I want to highlight the first one. There's a 13 or 12.2 million that related to a building that we wanted to rent for forestry employees. Now, that building by year end was not yet occupied, and that amount was reimbursed for that specific reason, for the payment of rental. Now, what was supposed to happen is that by last year, August, officials from forestry should have occupied that building, but that building was not in a good condition, and we couldn't allow officials to use that particular building. Then the other area, I've spoken about the farmer register. The farmer register, there was a 20 million that was reinvested. And by year end, that project, they were still doing a preliminary work. And they only spent 500,000, or 500,000. Now, the question that we will ask ourselves is, we have ring-fenced 20 million. Do we just take it back to Treasury without saying to them, we have ring-fenced? And we were clear to Treasury that we ring-fenced 20 million and would want that money to come back to us if they rolled over to us. Then there were issue of the withheld funds. I will link that to the question that was raised by the chair. For CAS, there was 33.6 million that was withheld. And now the reason why we withheld that money is if, for example, the provinces are coming back to us and saying, out of the 50 million, for argument's sake, that you have allocated to us, we have only used 25 million, and it's already in the ninth month. Now, logic tells us that they should have spent at least 75% of that money. And if they have spent 50 million, and then we ask for documents or evidence to say to us, are you going to be able to spend on that money? And then we don't get that. Rather, let's withhold it. Instead of going through these projects that U.S. members are raising, that there are projects that we are funding, but we don't see any impact. Now, what we have done is that we have withheld the money, and then we have taken it back to Treasury and said, this is money that that was not used by the provinces, and this is our reason for withholding them. And out of that money, I think, there was a 10.07 for Northwest that was returned, and then for Eastern Cape, under Ilima and Lisima, 5 million was returned by Treasury as rollover. And then I think there was a question around the fact that what are we doing with the funds that we transfer to the provinces. I think the DG has commented that previously the money was just going there, and that's the last time we see of it. Now we are engaging with National Treasury. They've got what they call Schedule 4. Schedule 4 is just you transfer the money, and then the province will see what they do. And then we are saying we must change them to Schedule 5, whereby we are going to have we have a responsibility and accountability until the last cent that is spent. And then I want to comment around the issue of I know it's not my mandate to do that, but the issue of red faces and the yellow faces. I think my understanding of yellow faces is that there is something that is being done by the department, but it's not satisfactory. But in terms of red faces is that there is no control. Now, if I compare the 12 red faces against the 25 yellow faces, and then we go back, a year back, and you'll see that there is some improvement that the department is working on. Thank you, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want to wrap up?
I just want to comment on this thing of this whole grant loans issue. Can the what we call the wastage of money. We spoke, we engaged the Treasury on this. We had a number of discussions on it. Because the central intrigue was the control of the money. The Treasury told us, no, these are conditional grants. Conditional grants are for the province, they're not for you. Okay? You do not have much to say. And then we motivated to them that, look, if you want us to achieve the results that you want, we must have more say on them. Okay? The last time, the Minister of the Treasury, the Finance Minister, wrote to us, maybe we should even send the letter with the Control Committee, because he said to us, what you are suggesting, in his words, is a radical measure. Okay? Well, it's just been done before. We will consider it, but we have to it won't be done in this, even in this financial year. It's something that will be considered for the oncoming financial year. So we are working with them. Now, even when we're raising this honorable tone with them, okay, their own junior officers were unhappy with the transition that we're doing. It was told because they said that what are these guys up to? What is the thing now that they want to really shape what's happening in the province? Because it's never been done before. It was them, they steamed this thing. So when we started the discussions last year, so we've missed out of this financial year. We will try to ensure that everything is secure so that when we start the next financial year, in April next year, there will be far more control on what happens on the fund. What I want to say here, again, on this very same point, is that in the past, as we were saying, you would just have the money and nothing would happen to it. We have stopped that change. Just planning for this next coming financial year, our planning unit has spent more than five days in each province, planning with the provinces. Okay? And it has taken us the whole year just to plan so that we can minimize the weaknesses of the system, so that when whatever goes ahead, we'll at least meet some level of success. Even that one here is not where we want it to be. For instance, in the past, we would be given money. We don't know whether there's been an agroecological study of the area. We know what is most optimal. No, that was never done. We are introducing what we call area-based planning, so when we take a decision about what is going to happen in this particular area, we know what soil type is there, we know what can work there. In the past, all of those things were never put into consideration. Now, what we're also adding, okay, with this system of deploying people into these local areas and participating in this campaign in Rohang, we are saying that we want to mobilize smallholder farmers. We want them to meet in fora, their extension officers, our own people will be part of some of those meetings, and then we will work with them, hand-hold them as a department. But additional to what the department will be doing, we will put us at hand for an implementation agent that's going to have people living there, staying in those projects, working with the people in those projects. Now, that level of detail, that level of planning has never been done before. We are introducing that. So, as I've said to say that, we are aware of the challenges, we are doing something about it. Now, all of these things, for me, I always say to people, this democratic state has been around since 1994, but its orientation is still around these issues, is still a challenge. That's my observation. It's still a challenge, but we're getting there. I just want to give that context before we move on to Mr. Hobo, who will speak on education-related questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I'm going to start with the one on colleges, because I think about two members asked questions related to colleges. I would like to, in response, make this statement to say, as a department, we are very, very passionate about these colleges of agriculture. Very, very, very passionate. And I will explain what I mean by that. Honorable Chair, in 1994, with the advent of democracy in this country, we inherited 12 colleges of agriculture. Of these 12 colleges of agriculture, some were in the former homelands, and some were in the then Republic of South Africa. These colleges, Honorable Chair, were characterized by very, very pronounced disparities in terms of their operations, in terms of their staffing, in terms of their resources. They were unequal, to use a very, very simple term. If you looked at staffing, for example, those that were occupying positions of principals were at different levels. You would find one college where the principal is at the level of a chief director, and another where the principal is at the level of an assistant director. Those are the disparities, pronounced disparities, which confronted us when we took these colleges over. And since then, Chair, we started a process of transforming them. And we have gained so much mileage in terms of transforming them. Let me just mention some of the things that we have done. We started off by establishing what we call norms and standards for colleges of agriculture, internationally benchmarked norms and standards. These norms and standards are quality measures which say, if we talk of a college of agriculture, and please allow me to use this terminology, agricultural training institute. If we talk of an agricultural training institute, how should it look like? How should it function? What type of governance should it have? What type of staffing should it have? What should be the level of qualification of those that are involved in lecturing in those? We have established this, Honorable Chair. Subsequently, we use these norms and standards to audit these 12 colleges. The aim of this, Chair, was to bring all colleges of agriculture to the same level. As I've indicated, others had been well-resourced, while others were severely under-resourced. So we came up with measures to say, let us establish a standard, a norm, to which all these colleges must pitch. And by doing so, we will attain equity among all these colleges of agriculture. We then use these norms and standards, Honorable Chair, to audit these colleges, to say these are the norms and standards which pronounce these measures to say a college, if we talk of a college of agriculture, it must look like this. So we use these norms and standards to audit each one of the 12 colleges. We obtained a report in terms of the weaknesses identified per college. We do have this report, Honorable Chair. And making use of that report, because now that report gave us a true picture of all the weaknesses of each college, we then went to National Treasury and said we would like to really revitalize all these colleges in line with the norms and standards. And National Treasury heeded our call. We obtained funding from the National Treasury. And for the first time in this financial year, each college has been allocated a certain amount of money towards its revitalization. Revitalization means the college must have a very good governance structure. It must have very, very good lecturers with a minimum qualification of master's. The college systems, logistics, transport must be such that they are not a hindrance. The practical training part of each college must be such that it enhances learning to our students. And I agree with the Honorable Member who said earlier that these colleges are meant to produce future farmers. This is the focus that we have taken in repositioning these colleges of agriculture, to say they will major in the training of smallholder farmers, training them in terms of short skills training programs and also in terms of formal training programs. The focus of these colleges will be on that. And I would like to say, really, to allay the fears of Honorable Members, to say, please, we are prepared as a department to even come and provide a much more comprehensive report in terms of these colleges, more than what my responses are providing now, because we are confident we can provide that comprehensive report. And I would like to say, Honorable Chair, that to also show that the department is very passionate about these 12 colleges. In terms of the new structure, which the DG alluded to earlier, we now have a unit as part of the new structure, which became effective on the 1st of April this year. We now have a unit whose responsibility will be sector colleges. We'll be looking after these colleges to make sure that what we are trying to achieve through these colleges is achieved. And I can also just, by concluding, to say just last week, you know, we were involved in interviews to select the right candidate who will be spearheading, you know, what the department wants to achieve as far as these colleges are concerned. So that is what I wanted to say in terms of colleges. I would really say, Chair, that...
Just a quick one whilst you are at colleges.
Yes.
Higher education or continuing within the department?
Chair, we have reached an agreement with the Department of Higher Education that colleges of agriculture should reside under the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. We have reached that agreement. And as some of the things that we are implementing, which is supported by National Treasury, is a new governance model that has been established for these colleges. Okay. If I may just continue. The second question, Chair, Honorable Chair, refers to the breakdown of numbers in terms of provinces, numbers in terms of training. There is a ballpark figure there of 30-something thousand smallholder farmers. I would like to say to honorable members, the department has established a very, very, very firm institutional framework for training, for the training of farmers through the CAS program. And we do have a comprehensive report with us. We do have a comprehensive report, I would like to say. Honestly, if the DG was to present the whole report, that report on training alone would have taken the time for the entire report of the department, the annual report. We do have a comprehensive report which indicates who was trained where, in which province, in which municipality, in which municipal district. Those reports are available, and we would like to promise members that we can provide those reports. Then 670 extension officers, Honorable Chair and members. That figure which the DG mentioned is the figure which indicates extension officers who have enrolled with various universities in the country during the academic year 2010 to upgrade their qualifications. That's the number that is mentioned there. But in terms of the total number of extension officers in the country, we are almost at 3,000 now. And I will agree with the honorable member that even where we talk about 3,000, that is still few. Because if you look at the extension to farmer ratio targets that we want to get, is that one extension officer must serve between 400 and 500 farmers. But it is not the case at the moment. One extension officer is still responsible for between 800 and 1,000 farmers, which is not good. But I can gladly report to members to say the extension recovery plan, which is aimed at revitalizing extension service in this country, one of its arms focuses on recruitment. Provinces have been given funds by the Department of Agriculture to recruit more extension officers, foot soldiers on the ground. And this process is continuing. The extension recovery plan, members of honorable members, is only 4 years old. It's only 4 years old. But at the moment, since it was implemented, provinces have thus far been able to recruit 1,000
extension officers up to so far. And provinces are continuing to recruit extension officers on the ground. Other than recruitment, Honorable Chair, we are also subjecting these extension officers, we are subjecting them under very, very, very intensive training. Other than them upgrading their qualifications, we are also providing short skills training programs to them, such as project management, such as business management skills, such as problem solving, such as conflict resolution, because they cannot deal with farmers if they do not have these soft skills. So those are some of the things that we are doing with them. In terms of agricultural schools, Honorable Chair, unfortunately, agricultural high schools reside under the Ministry of Basic Education. They don't reside with us. And allow me, Honorable Chair, to say the principals of these agricultural schools have approached us because they are lamenting, they are crying to say they have been neglected. And it is not surprising, Chair, because if you are to handle agricultural schools as a department, you must have a dedicated program with competent people with agricultural background who understand agriculture. Because if you are just going to have employees in that program who do not have any understanding of agriculture, there are a myriad of things that they will not understand. And that is the case with these agricultural schools now. Majority of them say, we feel neglected. Nobody's paying attention to us. So it is unfortunate. That's the response that I can give, Honorable Chair, in terms of agricultural schools. Then lastly, Chair, vulnerable workers. The Honorable Member asked a question to say, what is it that we are doing with vulnerable workers? Because there's a Department of Labor. If I may just put things into perspective here, the Department of Agriculture is not dealing with all issues pertaining to vulnerable workers. And it is not what we are saying. But we are coordinating to ensure that all role players play their role in terms of addressing the plight of vulnerable workers. These vulnerable workers, Honorable Chair, are people that are working in the sector. Think of forestry, think of agriculture, think of fisheries. These are people who are working in those sectors. And we cannot, as a department, turn a blind eye to them. But we are aware that there are many role players, including the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor is not the only role player. The Department of Social Development has a role. The Department of Health has a role. The Department of Basic Education. But unless we stand up as a department to coordinate and to make sure that every role player plays his or her role, nothing is going to happen. And what we are doing as a department is simply to coordinate. And what the DG said earlier when he talked about a national vulnerable workers delivery forum established, that structure has been established to assist in coordinating work towards addressing the plight of vulnerable workers in forestry, fisheries, and in agriculture. Thank you very much.
Okay, members, that is the...
There's Mr. Ndombela on vacancies, Dr. Marsha on the...
thank you, Chair. Thanks, Honorable Members, DG. Maybe let me start by adding to what the DG, to how the DG responded on the issue of personal suitability checks, because I think have an understanding. The honorable member was indicating that he doesn't see a need for those. In response, first of all, it was a cabinet decision that was taken sometime in 2008 to say that everyone that gets employed in a national department, in a provincial department, must undergo these personnel suitability checks. What do they entail? NIA would check your citizenship, whether you are a South African, whether you have a permanent residence permit, you know, all those things. They are going to check whether you are not a security threat before you get appointed, or, you know. They are going to check your financial standing, you know. They are going to check your criminal records. And on the basis of what they gather, they say, to a department, this is a person that you may employ. All right. The South African Qualifications Authority checks and verifies the qualifications that you say on your CV and the copies that you give to us, whether those are authentic. Authentic, yeah. If you have an overseas qualification, they check the equivalent of a South African qualification. They also check whether those qualifications that you claim to have obtained abroad, whether they are authentic and so on, and then they give a go-ahead. We understand why Cabinet took that decision to address a certain particular need. But at the same time, it also has undesirable consequences in the sense that it delays the recruitment process. We appreciate why it's done. We understand, but we're just raising a point to say that when we do the issue of, when we attack the issue of vacancy rate, there is this other issue which has got a delaying factor on us addressing the vacancy rate. I wanted to start with that one so that we then go into the vacancy rate. The question on the vacancy rate was that in our report, we say at the beginning of the financial year, 2010, the vacancy rate was 14%, and by the end of the financial year, it was recorded as 11%. And the question was that, what is the current vacancy rate? My response is going to be a bit confusing. The short answer to the question is that the current vacancy rate, as we speak now, is around 13%. And then the question that would rise is that, why from 14 to 11 and now 13. Let me give the explanation. At the beginning of the 2010-2011 performance cycle, which is the reporting period that we are talking about now, you would have to understand that in May 2009, new government functions and ministries were announced by the president. And between May 2009 to that end of that financial cycle, there was a process that was led by the presidency, DGSA, Treasury, to facilitate the transfer of functions with the resources to the, you know, the relevant departments. The Department of Agriculture had to merge with forestry, which came from DWAF, as well as fisheries, which came from the Department of Environment Affairs and Tourism. At the end of that process, then what we were advised is that by 1st of April 2010, those branches, because we are going to set them up as branches, should be placed side by side with the existing branches in the department. That was then April 2010, and what we discovered was that after the transfer, they transferred even vacancies that were unfunded, particularly from forestry. That caused the vacancy rate to shoot up. And then between 1st April 2010 up until 31 March 2011, together with the systems that we have and together with trying to speed up the recruitment and selection process on the old structure, the vacancy rate dropped down to 11 by the end of that performance cycle. And then now, on the 1st of April, we had to implement the new structure. You would understand that the new structure, because of the broader mandate that we have, has somewhat expanded. There were new positions that were created and so on.
And at the beginning of this financial year, the one that we're talking about, the one that we're on now, that is April 2011 to 2012, as of 1st April, the vacancy rate shot back to 14%. And then now it's at 13% with the initiatives and interventions that were introduced. We are aiming that by the end of this financial year, it should be at 12% or lower. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. My response is going to be fairly short in an attempt to try and address the issues that we raised with regards to the animal diseases, especially the outbreaks that we've experienced recently. But before I respond to that, Honorable Abrams indicated the concerns raised by the Red Meat Industry Forum. A report has been submitted by the department in an attempt to respond to those issues that the Red Meat Industry Forum had raised. And during that meeting, that presentation, the committee had agreed that the department will be given a slot to also make a verbal representation to respond to those issues. And I think the DG will follow up on that. DG has already alluded to the challenges that the department is facing with regards to the concurrence of functions. Veterinary services, unfortunately, is one of those that is suffering severely with the provincialization of the veterinary controls, and it has been raised at different forums. The foot and mouth outbreak, in particular, is one such example. The recent KZN outbreak, as the presentation indicated, the last cases were detected in April. And between April and now, we have been in a struggle with KZN veterinary services to close the outbreak, to put control measures into place so that when we close the outbreak and approach the OIE and trade partners, we have something concrete to offer them. And unfortunately, that has not been forthcoming. And as a result, we cannot resume exports. We cannot start with surveillance, which we were hoping that by now we would have concluded, so that we approach the OIE to regain our status and resume our normal exports as we previously could. And the last question was with regards to the census. That question is also responded to in the Red Meat Industry Forum response that we presented. And the challenge with the fence is actually much deeper than what is currently being said to be. For disease control purposes, the fence that the country needs is actually very minimal. We only need a 3-strand fence that can prevent movement of animals across countries, and that fence is clearly not going to be sufficient for other purposes, mainly security. We've got over 1,000 officials manning the fences from east to west all the way, and unfortunately the major repeated offense that results in the fence being brought down is criminal, to the point that our officials are threatened close to on a daily basis, especially with the Mozambican border, KZN Mozambique, with theft of vehicles being sent through that border fence. We repay it on a daily basis, but it gets broken as frequently as that. And the department is in consultation with the SANDF for them to try and take over the functions, because it is our belief that it is more of a security need for the country than it is for a disease control need for a country. What disease control fence provides is definitely insufficient to provide for the security, but what security would then provide would be sufficient for disease control purposes. And if that could be achieved, I think our fence issues and problems would be resolved. I hope I have answered to all questions. But maybe just as an update, Chairperson, if I may abuse the speaker, that world with the avian influenza outbreak, we have successfully managed to get the green light from the EU, who is our main trade partner with exports of ostrich meat. They published a regulation last week on the 6th that we can resume exports of ostrich meat on a basis of regionalization. The Klein Karoo Valley has been regionalized as an infected area, and from the rest of the country we can resume exports as of yesterday. And I am hoping that a few ostriches have been slaughtered already due to be exported. Thank you.
Thank you, DJ. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, a quick response around the measurable objectives and the figures, your figures that we are reporting. The issue around the measurable objectives resulted when the presidential outcomes were announced. It was during the period when we were finalizing the strategic plan. So the process was to integrate or to accommodate the outcomes into a system of planning, which is the strategic planning. And that in itself, now when it comes to reporting, the Auditor General, that's where they are raising the issue that we are not providing sufficient information. DG alluded to the issues of concurrence, because when you look at how CASP is implemented, implementation is taking place at the province level. So the administrative data in relation as to the name of the farmer, where it's located, that information you find it at the provincial department. What comes to us is a comprehensive report, which is at the summary level, that talks to how the program is performing. So the Auditor General, when looking at a target that appears in a strat plan, they want information on the specifics of which that information administratively, it is not with a national department, but it is with a provincial department. So they raise it here in the report as if it's a concern. But administratively, it is not a problem. And on the job figure, the actual word to be used is actually a job equivalent, because we implement cut-through projects. And the beneficiaries, because on a day-to-day basis, that is the activity that they use. And on our assumption basis, it provides a livelihood in terms of income, which is a job equivalent. So these figures are primarily talking to the beneficiaries of the project. And I think we are under-reporting the figures, because we don't seem to be reporting on the implementers. Let's say people who are given tenders to build the structures. So those figures are not appearing here. So ideally, we are under-reporting on the job opportunities that we are creating as on overall the 1 billion rand that we are implementing in terms of cash. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
The only thing I would say is that in terms of the quality of information now, like the performance, which I think is the correct concept of the the evaluation of the actual performance. It's something that we have to work on.
It's something that we have got to work on. I think that the kind of interventions we are bringing, of having people on the ground, okay, in those projects, people visiting those projects on a monthly basis, that will also improve the quality of the information that we have in our hands-on presence in those locations. But what Richard is saying is that it's actually the information, however, the size of the problem. But as I'm saying, we do want to report to Parliament about that performance impact of the topic. I think it's a relevant concern, and I think that we have to report on that. Thank you.
Okay. Let's start off with the course.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think my turn will be on the response with regards to the food and mouth. In fact, it's not a question, it's just a concern, Chairperson. If one looks at how the control was sort of effected, it was only more focused on the main road, which is R-56, north side of Black Buffalo River from Nongoma.
as well as N2 North of Imfolo's River next to Wamsan. If one then looks at the flow of animals to these two rivers for drinking, as well as being driven across by some for laboratory purposes and other things, it might, in my view, have sort of carried the disease. Although it has not been detected, but the point I would like to raise, Chairperson, is that maybe if the department can sort of go out in full force to sort of do some, what I would say, thorough test on the cattle along the two rivers, or across the two rivers, so as to exactly determine whether they are remains of this disease with regard to the cattle that are driven up and down the two rivers. The very little effect that was what one has experienced was that very few crows were visited by the departmental officials who are the veterinarians who did some samples on some some crows. But I think there's a bigger need for us to say this exercise has been sort of carried out and we are cocksure that no remains of the disease might be detected in a very short in a very short time or in the future. Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Abba? Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, a couple of questions have not been answered. Be that as it may, I just want to highlight a couple of things. What we want from the CFO is that in this report of the Auditor General, there are issues, for example, I just want to mention one example. The accounting officer did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure as per the requirements of section so and so. All we want from the CFO is that all these disclaimers, shall I call them, or questions that the Auditor General's office has put, if he could just tell us, not now, in the form of a written response, that with regard to all the other the issues that were raised by the Auditor General, this is how we are going to rectify these issues. This is extremely important. That's what we want. Secondly, Chairperson, regarding the tractor issue, the question has not been answered. I'm not interested in the fact that the tractors were handed over to the province. My question was specific. That was the procurement process in any way compromised? That's what I asked. If so, what was the extent of the compromising? Was there anybody that was charged for having for any misdemeanor or wrongdoing? Now, you see, we don't get that reply. And that's why I've got to take the second take again. Give us those responses. Whether and of course we also asked, when are the other provinces going to be given their tractors and implements? Give us those responses. If you don't have them, tell us you don't have it. Then we have to look at other avenues of getting that information. Chairperson, we spoke here. Comrade Paliso is very passionate about what happens in the poor fishing community. We had asked specifically that there was a forensic report on marine and coastal management. What happened to that report? Because you see, Chair, when we draw up our recommendations for BRRR, we must be equipped by information. A year down the line, nobody must turn around and say, look, this that you people said about MCM, look at this can of worms that have come out of the forensic report. Why, oh why, are these reports being withheld? Why don't we see them? I'm grateful that the DG has said that the Ngeha Farm forensic report is available. It will be made available to us. Thank you for that. But let us also have the forensic on marine and coastal management. For as long as you keep that report away from this committee, unfortunately, you know, this mind travels all over, and it starts thinking all sorts of things. Why is this being done? So don't keep information away from this committee. We don't want to use the Promotion of Access to Information Act to try and get that information. We're entitled to it. We are supposed to know what is going on. Chairperson, with regard to the FMD cases that Dr. Maja has reported on, I'm glad to hear that the last sightings or whatever cases were in April 2011. What I don't understand, though, is that if the KZN Department's Veterinary Services is not coming to the party so that you can make the necessary representations and whatever to the OIE, there should be some systems in place that should compel them to see that they come to the party. And what we want to know from you is, what have you done to see that they come to the party? We cannot allow a fellow or a sister government institution, a statutory, constitutionally created body, to hold us to ransom. I mean, this thing is impacting on the livelihoods of our people. And we need to see that that department comes to the party. So please tell us. And if it doesn't happen, let us then, chairperson, make a noise and see that it happens. This must also come into our BRRR report, because it's impacting on the way we are going to appropriate funds. Then, chairperson, the question by Mrs. Carter on the pre-1997 loans. I take it, it is the old Agricultural Credit Board loans, has not been responded to, as far as I can remember. I think that we you owe us an explanation, and I trust that you will send that to us in writing so that we know exactly where we stand on the amount involved, the number of debtors, etc., etc. Are there any time frames, or is it just, until doomsday the people can have a free rein to pay, even if they're in their graves? Let us have that. Chairperson, I think I have asked the questions I needed to, but I think on a previous occasion I told the CFO that the 100 million rand land bank BEE fund, which was distributed to a number of so-called beneficiaries for a number of so-called projects, including NAFU, to do various things. It was the task of the Department of Agriculture to monitor at that time and to follow up whether the money was utilized for the purposes for which it was intended. I may just say, Mr. DG, that a good old friend of mine told me that, listen, my friend, if you want to see some of that money, go to so-and-so's farm, you'll see that money there. You know, you'll see what is done with it. We need to know, chairperson, what is happening, where is your monitoring? We need to know that. And finally, Mr. DG, you did not respond to my questions regarding the lack of response from your office. Now, the lack of responses from your office when we write to you. All I want from you is a response to the letter that I sent you, a query from a community in Pongola. I've sent that letter to you. I've sent it also to your office. I've got your office clerk that stamped it. I don't get a response. I don't get an acknowledgement. And I don't want it just to be limited to me. I will not contact you for any personal benefits. I will contact you on behalf of our people. And if I cannot go back to those people after I send this to you on the 26th of May this year, if I cannot go back to those people, what faith are they going to have in this system? That here we have members of parliament whom we approach because the department doesn't help us, and this member of parliament also fails to come back to us.
I want to be able to go back to them and say, listen, the department says A, B, C, D, or the department says go to hell. We're not prepared to look at what you are requesting or what your queries or problems are. Please, that's all we're asking for. Thank you very much, Chair.
Mr. Dutoy? No,
thank you, Chairperson.
Can we also try and just be on
I'll be quick. I was
looking at the time.
I just want to say something about the report, the layout of the report, the annual report. Thank you for the acronyms. We've got two full pages of that. It's always helpful, so please keep it there. Okay. The other thing is that on the contents, everything is quite detailed, put out with the page numbers, but on part 3 and part 4, the report of the audit committee and the annual financial statements, it's not been broken down into more or less details, and it makes it a bit difficult to find out exactly what you're looking for. You want a page back to something. So if you could do that for the next one, it would be fine. I've mentioned it earlier on another meeting, and I think you really should look at when you do this supervision or oversight over provinces. You should restructure somewhere. I don't know how the structure exactly works because it's not in here. Okay? So an organogram will also be nice if we have it to see how it fits together on your year report. But you need to look at your provinces. You need to have it in this content. You need to have provinces, part whatever it is, will be provinces, and there will be 9 subdivisions on each province. Because we need to zero in on the province where there's a problem. Now, coming back to, thanks for the young lady who gave us a short report on the fence. That is something that was actually there before end of March. I understand that the report was, it was very short notice, but should have something on an insert or something on this, on such cases, on important cases. We for instance, I've heard a rumor that there's 8 million a year being given to or budgeted for the fence to KwaZulu-Natal. Now, obviously, once you've addressed the province, you can also link the money to it. Now, there's been mentioned now that it's getting broken down, but we can't just accept as a mighty state with hundreds of thousands of police and soldiers, and we're the strongest state in Africa. We can't just say criminals come and they break down our fence and they carry it away on a daily basis. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here who doesn't know what a motor rack is. You know those vehicle gates? It's got a fence, and then where the road goes over the fence, you've got these grids. If anybody here doesn't know how that thing looks, because that would be a pity. But farmers told me from Congola that these gates are standing there in the middle of the field, in the middle of the road, and there's no fence. The fence has been stolen. That's in that area. It says that, you know, it's a weirdest thing. Here goes the road over this motor gate, and there's no fence connecting the one to the other. So, I mean, we are South Africa, the Republic of South Africa. We are a state. We've got an army. We have the strongest army in Africa. We've got more electricity being generated here than the rest of Africa together. And we can't protect our fences against our criminals in our country. I mean, the department has to do something about it. They've got a responsibility. If we are talking to the National Defense Force, we need to have a report. We're just talking, and they're just talking to us. Or we need to say that this is a deadline. We started to talk to them in March, or we started to talk to them in January. It's not progressing. There were 5 meetings, there were 10 meetings, there were 20 meetings, whatever. We need to do this. Otherwise, I must now go again and write letters to ministers to ask, how many meetings have you had? What this, what that? You know, it's not my job to do it. It's my job to do oversight. But it's your job, yours, the department, and other departments, to see that you preempt this problem in South Africa. And analyze the problem and act on it. You come with suggestions. I mean, I don't get paid what the DG is getting paid.
Thank you.
So the DG must come up with
that. On that note of pay. Mr. Gaylor?
Chairperson, thank you. I'm sorry, I've been in and out. I've been to the doctor for not well. Chairperson, I'm not happy with the answer. In fact, I haven't received the answer on the education scheme. Tell you why. I don't know whether the minister was making a political statement in Parliament. But the truth of the matter, one of those schemes is the worker scheme in the former Transkei. That was a very vibrant scheme. That scheme supplied the whole of the area with wage. I know that you've been transferring money to the provinces, and nothing is actually happening with that scheme. So one would like to know, are you going to revitalize that scheme? Because you get trucks going to that area. 40 trucks per hour, I've counted them, Chairperson, taking veg to that area. And that used not to happen. Secondly, the issue of tractors, the clarity is only 1 year. You buy the tractors, you give them to provinces. Well, the gentleman said they buy the tractors. That's where they're. Who buys the tractors?
We buy.
Yes. Now, if you buy them, you are accountable. Now, how then do you give problems without a policy? Because basically what is going to happen is that those tractors are going to be given to the, not to the right people. You should be having a policy because the accountability, you account for those tractors at the Auditor General. So I think you should have a policy if you're buying the tractors, or else those tractors will just be given to the wrong people. And that is what happened in the provinces anyway. Chairperson, 3 weeks back, we went on oversight to the province, Eastern Cape province, my province. And it was an extended public works program. In Tabakulu, in the municipality of Tabakulu, they didn't want us to go visit the project. We said, it's up on the hill. And we went, we stood on the hill, and they said, you see that smoke there, that's where the road is. Then we asked them, how do the trucks get in there? There was no project, but money was used. So, Chairperson, DG, whether the trader say it's a radical approach, I think the approach that you want to do is the best to get us out of this mess up here. Because when a mess up, provinces do not do anything. Thank you.
Mama, it is Mama.
I want to go back to the qualities. It's just, you know, what I'm thinking, what came into my mind. It was not better for the department to say maybe they take two or three of these agricultural colleges as pilot projects, unlike taking them, 12 of them. Because why am I thinking like this? I'm thinking about the budget. I'm thinking of maybe this thing is going to delay, you know, so many years until they finish this 12. Whereas they have taken maybe 3 or 2 as pilot project and finish them and put up the standard, the rest, it will just be going. I'm finished with that one. Number two. You know, sometimes you make us not to say thank you to you. The report, the forensic report, the NEHA report. You know, we are, some of us, we are Christians. We will say thank you, but we don't have to say that because DG. I don't know, what should we do, and you know, to get information from department. So, you know, we tried all. We even went down on our knees looking for this report. And how do we do our work if we don't have information?
Now we have to write this BRRR. If we don't have a mission, what are we going to write about it, about that? Please, DG, if we need something from the department, make sure that we are a committee. We are not against you. We are a committee of your department, we are not your enemies. We are working together with you. If we need something, give it to us so that to make our job easy. The last is the tractors. Yeah, no, this is a great concern. Because we are in the poor province. We are in the poor of the poorest, Golden Pope. And my worry, Chairperson, the department, especially with Mpumalanga, they said they gave those tractors to municipality. And from there, it means the department, they don't make a follow-up. Pella, if you have, I've given you something valuable like that, I should follow up and find out how are you using these things. These things are helping the people or not. In other words, as we are speaking, seated here, they don't know what is happening with those. That's why we are talking about a monitoring and evaluation. There is where the monitoring and evaluation came about. If you give me something and you don't follow up, and maybe I mess up, those tractors, they can even be stressed, and people, they can sell the parts, because there is no monitoring and evaluation. Follow up those tractors. I've already said, Jagom Mpumalanga, they are parked somewhere. I forget that place. They are there. If you want them, tender a procedure. And you don't know about that. Follow up the monies, where you have taken money. Follow up. Do the monitoring. Thank you, Chairperson. Give it.
Thank you, Mama Talito. You've been the very, very last one.
DG, my observation is there is very minimal information about our forest effect in the annual report, even in the question. My worry is I don't know, do we really have the capacity in the department, or did we fill all the vacancies? We will hammer on that until we can rather go and plead with National Treasury to adjust our organogram than sitting without the necessary capacity in the department, because we are frustrated about the deliverables and we don't want to sing this song like the old granny from Long Player Record, talking one thing over and over and over. Because the logic behind all these non-deliverables is we don't have the capacity, we don't have the human resource. We can't. We can't say that every time when we meet as portfolio and the department. Because we advise one another, and our advice is not taken into consideration as teachers. For us, it's I must say, a blessing to have you today here, because every time we were fighting with these officials, but our concern was also that where is the DG of the department? We want him to hear what we are saying to the officials, so that he can take the responsibility of this department. It's a pity the minister also left. I won't elaborate on the deputy minister, because he's not taking the responsibility of this department. The thing of that, his absence is not an excuse. If in the cabinet, he do go to a cabinet meeting. But the only thing is undermining this portfolio. That's why he's never, forever, not here, thinking that portfolio members who are contradicting themselves, addressing the chairperson, but not addressing the fact that the deputy minister is not coming to portfolio committee meeting.
why is he going to cabinet meeting? It's a contradiction. He must take responsibility also about this department if we are serious about service delivery. Thank you.
Maybe for future response, if you could get some information, you know, you are always informed about, you know, bilateral agreements and multilateral agreements that our government gets to be involved in. To an extent, the department also gets to be signing some of those. How many of those are working in our favor? And what countries or what multilateral commissions can we attest to? The reason why I'm raising this question is because, you know, you attend some of this fora as well. Can we have one meeting, Dr. Bosma and Mr. Abram, the inseparable twins? Now, even at those trade negotiation sessions, some of these agreements are entered into, but we never see the light of them coming back here. Only when you attend some of those fora, you know, make reference being made about some of those agreements that we shall have entered into. Now, make it worse. When some of those agreements are negotiated and almost at the point of being ratified, if the department were to do that all by itself, I'm sure the department would have long done those. But because they are supposed to come to Parliament, and also coming to Parliament, they literally come at a very, very tail end for us to simply just ratify and, you know, with a rubber stamp. Of course, we are equally to blame ourselves in really getting into those processes. But I'm just keen on those that work and the number and what type of, you know, programs that arise out of those. It may not be for now, but something that I thought, you know, we might wish to avail for the committee. Maybe sometime end of next week. I'm sure those are something that are readily available out there. Thank you. That is the last round, and then of course also before, you know, your bus and my bus this time around, because I must also catch all that bus as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. Firstly, just to say, we do refer to forest. There are about 7 pages in the report that talks to work that is taking place in forest. Of course, we can still do more, but there is work, there is report that of what's happening in forest. What our concerns are with forestry is that we have not completely exhausted the job creation potential of forest. We are aware of this and we are working on it. The issue of the bilateral agreements, Chair, we will brief you, give you a report on what's happening on them. But again, don't expect that much. The point is this. It is one thing to give bilateral agreements. It is another thing to give them content. Okay? And the fact of the matter that is that the state is being contracted coming from Parliament. Actually, I should actually make this point. I am surprised to the extent of challenges that are there in the state. I think that people don't understand the challenges that are there in the state. There are lots of challenges in the state. I'll make just one brief example. When we were trying to work on a policy area that involved understanding what the remedial state is, I failed to find people in the department who could understand what that is. We had to hire someone to help us manage the particular discussion that had to do with the development. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that
it's an evolving state. Whether we like it or not, it's not where, it's not yet optimal yet. There's some challenges. And I think I'm privileged to do that, coming from having been here in Parliament. Then coming to the issues of Nega that honorable member raised, Nwoka. What we have a plan, an overall plan, that was working with the engineering department on all these irrigation schemes, but also that was from homeland. We've got a small budget, I think I know the budget about 48 million, not much. It cannot do much around there. What we have been hoping to do and where we're working on, we're working with World Development. World Development has more money than us, okay? And they have been willing to work with us. Now, one of the challenges in Noha, I know this, because I'm supposed to go there with the DG of World Development. There's the issue of traditional leaders that you have to be engaged with so that we can be able to access and utilize that. We think that the issue of education schooling is a quick win for us. And it's an important area for focus because we can really have an impact, but not for small older guys, if we're able to work on those. So we have a plan for all of them, but the issue is the detail of working with our colleagues elsewhere in Gazgo, who do not have the money in agriculture to work in this area. Now, there was another comment, I think, Molo, you comment on the issue that we talked about. Then, now, the issue that Honorable Abraham raised, the forensic report on the MLRF was instituted by the minister. Okay? I will convey to the minister that the committee would want to see that report. Okay? I don't think we've, as a department, instituted any forensic, both forensic measures. I think the previous one of the last previous administration, and this one on the Eleanor was here by the minister, I will convey on the issues of the Agri-BEE. The matter of the Agri-BEE, the money that were lost, that were linked to the land bank, etc. That matter is subject, okay? I think you've seen the papers that the people who were involved in that have been arrested. And from the point of view of the department, some people were implicated in it, and the departmental process on that. That's all I can say. I don't want to copy on that. The issue of Pongola, I'm not aware of this letter, maybe the letter is there. I would hope that Honorable Abraham, that if there's communication between us and things are not moving, we've worked together in the past, you can always give me a call if you feel that there's no movement in my office. Because I'm not aware of the Pongola thing, I would have acted on it. Now, what I want to say is that now that we've got director responsible for every municipality, you don't even have to come to me. There'll be someone in the city who will make it available with their contact, whom you can phone, who is deployed to work in Pongola on any issue of development around Pongola. We've had that system, it's making my life a little bit easy, but I don't have to handle all the calls. As I said, that's also you mentioning, you only come to me when there's a crisis, but we have now assigned someone to work on those issues. The only issue, Honorable Doy, I'll tell you about some of the issues that are welcoming from our report. But the issue I was raising in the initial presentation was that it has not been as easy as we thought to move the policy framework from providing grants to providing loans. Okay? I remember I said in the past that the challenge that we had that, you see, if you have a grant system, bureaucrats are more powerful than citizens. I said this in the portfolio committee sometime last year. And so even bureaucrats have got a vested interest because unlike a loan where everyone, citizens, can apply for a loan, if as a bureaucrat in the Eastern Cape or the Western Cape, I will ensure that so-and-so gets this. It's a position of power. So to move from this bureaucratically dominant system to a citizen or a farmer dominant system has not been easy. I've had resistance when I was raising this issue with some of my colleagues. the final thing that I wouldn't mind maybe the members of parliament commenting that this is the kind of thing, it strengthens even some of us. Because my old colleagues, I could feel that, and I can't impose it on them. There's a limit to what one can do. If you have got other people, HODs, who have got power, you have got work through persuasion, not with the diktat. I don't have the power for diktat, I've got to persuade.
There's something else. I think I've tried to answer to most of the questions that were. On the issue of the tractor, what I can say on the tractor, I think I take the criticism that you can do more to monitor what those tractors are doing in the province. It's all the caveat. But with the rest of the provinces, the process of went out on tender, was being managed by the ARC, it is almost at the last length of it. I think the in no time, within the next 2-3 weeks, those that contract will be awarded to some of the people who bid for it, and then the tractors will go to the province, to all the remaining provinces. So that process is almost concluded. That's all I can do.
I want to follow up, madam.
Chairperson, I would like clarity from the DG. The DG doesn't have dictatorship over province, but there are officials who are working directly with municipalities, and municipalities are in the province. The clarity I would like to know is that are there officials in the provinces that are also working according to the report that DG gets from the HOD, who are reporting to these officials at national level? Saying that, it will bring us as a portfolio committee to have the department, national department, with the 9 HODs of the provinces in front of us. Because we will have now to think out of the box and bring all of them to us so that they can come and account to us, because we are not moving. This department is not moving. So we will have to bring them here to come and sit in front of the DG. Having us here, having them here, us having this report, so that we can nobody can point fingers to one another, because in another portfolio, the one department we're pointing fingers to one to the other department. And we brought them together, and there is Honorable Abraham. We got where the cause of the trouble were. So this is what we are going to do with agriculture, because this country is not moving. We are failing the people.
You want to respond to that? Because I'm sure there are a number of other people who might have a similar issue on this particular matter. For instance, what comes to mind almost immediately is a matter related to fisheries. There was once a resolution that was having to establish or decentralize, fisheries in other provinces. Whether we have been able to make any progress in that direction. I'm not sure whether you want to respond specifically on this one. I think it's more of an indication of where we want to go.
What you are saying, Honorable Pali, is that we are deploying people to work in municipalities, okay? To work in those areas where the farmers are, okay? And we're also going to be getting, what I said, a service provider who will be helping people locate aid in those areas. Working, they'll be reporting to us, we'll have our own people, because the service agreement will be with us as headquarters. But what I'm saying is this. Of course, we try and work with the provinces, but we are not going to blame them when work is not happening. That's why we are deploying our own people, including service providers, so that all the job creation process that we have, the implementation of the Zolohanga campaign, we know that we've got our own people who are doing the job. Of course, they cannot impose themselves, they've got to work with the provinces, but what we are assuming responsibility for that space, and that response was not done before. We are saying, if we've got a process, whether it's an orchard or whatever,
we are sending our own officials once a month to spend a week there. We keep that decision, that legal practice. And we've always given people, told them which area they're working on. So that's our attempt to assume responsibility. In the past, it was handing over the entire month to the provinces. What they did with it, would get it a year later. We have stopped that. So that's all I'm saying. I'm not blaming the provinces. I'm just saying we as nationals are assuming the responsibility for what's going to happen on the ground. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Okay, that's good support, members, for when we move forward. I think we had a very fruitful session. We certainly are going to pull together a report that attempts to take us forward on a whole range of areas. There are also areas wherein we shall have to get some written replies or replies to some of the questions raised which couldn't be responded to as of this meeting. Members, we have come to the end of our discussion on annual report presentations. We have the ARC, we also have a land bank that also are going to be expecting now we are supposed to be looking into the BRRR next week, but at the same time we are extended an invitation by the Minister for Finance to join the Finance Committee on Land Bank. So there are those two issues for next week. We shall have to see how we align, because they are both important. So we'll just have to see how best we align, if it means having to look for a Wednesday to look into the, you know, BRRR, because we might have to be attending to Land Bank. Those are the issues that we have to deal with.
Okay, can I just ask now, what about NEHA?
NEHA. NEHA was not, he did not present here, no? So we'll have NEHA and ARC. That we shall have to deal with. If I were just to be very quick, insofar as NASA is concerned, I'm sure the DG has been informed. We did take a session with NASA. No, we did not. It was the Auditor General when we met with. I'm just, you know, thinking of these too many meetings at one. And so we have those two that we must deal with, NASA and ERC, but at the same time with the Land Bank, which is taking place next week. Can we remain informed as to what actually is going to happen next week, so far as, you know, Land Bank and BRRR through the Committee Secretariat? And as of now, the meeting remains adjourned. Thank you.